call to order the Lapine City Planning Meeting for Wednesday, April 21st, 2010, at 6:04. Does that say? Okay. We will take a roll call to try to establish a quorum, starting on my immediate left.
Commissioner Virginia Klassen, present.
Commissioner John Thomas, present.
Gloria Fleming, present.
Commissioner Linda Maggard, present.
We have established a quorum. Very good. Linda, would you like to please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Does everybody have an agenda that wants one? Okay, we are agenda item number 4, added agenda items. Do we have any added agenda items?
Budget. We need to talk.
That's one I had. Discussion on Planning Commission budget.
Yeah, because we should get that into the City Council.
I have one.
Okay.
The request for the Planning Commission to serve on the Utilities Committee. It's been brought to my attention.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good, yeah. So we had the update on
the transportation.
Transportation, but let's add that too. That's good. And I briefly wanted to discuss with the staff, kind of go along with that Planning Commission budget, was training, further training for the Planning Commission. So let's put that on other matters. Anything else? Okay, moving on to agenda item number 5. Approval of March 17th Planning Commission meeting minutes. And we are diligently seeking to read these prior to getting to the meeting. We haven't made any promises, but I understand that there were a few of us this time, and maybe all, that have read these entire minutes. Mm-hmm. And do we have any of the changes? I have a couple.
Okay.
Any changes?
I didn't note any.
I just had a couple minor ones. Let's see. Page 5, section 10. It's just spelling. I had to read a couple different times because of the spelling. It says Chair Thomas stated that it would be great to have a new planning commission. Or also, the OR should go with the N to make it commissioner.
Yeah.
So we don't need a new planning commission. We just need to say to have a new planning commissioner also have ties to transportation. So just simple. I mean, just see how one little space can change the complexity of this.
Catch it.
So that's all I was. And then down below that same paragraph, I just wanted to change the sound of this sentence. It says Chair Thomas said that tag, and it did say may need to stay on the county level to assist with county transportation issues. I didn't have the authority to make that statement. So I'd like to read, Chair Thomas said that TAG is important to stay on the county level to assist with county transportation issues. It's much softer and kinder and gentler and everything to the,
right.
In respect to the TAG, I think.
Uh-huh, sure.
I don't want to push those people around. They own a lot of guns. I know they do. I've seen them. So I don't want to make them mad. Okay. That's all I had. Anybody have anything else?
No, I agree with your changes, and I'd like to make a motion to accept the minutes pending the corrections or corrections
with
and changes.
With corrections as noted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll second it.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion on the question? No? Those in favor signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The ayes have it. Okay. We have approved March 17th meeting minutes. Agenda item number 6. Future transition of planning review to the city of Lapine. I can introduce Nick Lelak, Deschutes County.
Jump in real quick. I did ask on your at your request for the county staff to attend this meeting, begin this discussion with you as we're moving into code creation and then budgeting, probably not for this year, but for next year. And so Nick Lelak is the planning director for Deschutes County, and Tom Anderson is the community development director for Deschutes County, so they have graciously agreed to be here tonight. So.
Yes, thank you, gentlemen, for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks. We're happy to be here. Would you like for us to sit up a row, or do you want us to sit back here?
Feel free to move up.
Yeah.
Can you just come up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
I didn't want to crowd you if you didn't want me to.
No, I do. Well, that's not a microphone.
Good. Well, the first thing I think is huge congratulations for adopting your comprehensive plan, because that's, of course, the big step toward creating a development review system of your own. And then the second congratulations is being awarded the grant from the Department of Land Conservation and Development to pay for the work, which is an incredible undertaking. And you'll experience what an incredible undertaking it is.
Very exciting.
And it's great. How long have you been with the county doing this sort of thing?
I've been with the county now since the start of last year. Okay. So 13 or 14 months. Prior to that, I was the planning director, community development director for the city of Redmond for 3 years. And prior to that, I was a consultant, and I worked with cities, towns, counties, mm-hmm. a range of jurisdictions in the upper Midwest. And I've got a long history beyond that. You don't want to hear all that. But I appreciate that, because one of the things as a consultant I used to do is I used to go and talk to communities that were, especially in the upper Midwest, where they hadn't done planning in the past. Or it had been, a town was doing it for the first time, and it had always been done by the county, not unlike this. And one of the conversations we'd always have would be, what are the pros and cons of having your own staff planner, or do you want a consultant, or do you want the county to do it? And in many cases, no matter what hat I was wearing, I would talk myself out of jobs, because it's important, because every community is different. Mm-hmm. And it depends on what project you're doing. In some cases, you need real expertise on a long-range project or a downtown project, and you may want a consultant that has that expertise, mm-hmm. whereas you may want more of a generalist planner to do your plan review, and whether it's mm-hmm. a consulting planner or a staff planner. In any event, that's what I hope to begin that conversation with you tonight is, we don't view this as the county having a dog in the fight, other than to see we want you to be successful.
Sure.
And it's our understanding that it is your desire to transition away from the county performing the development review to your own. And then whether you have your own staff or consultant, it's great.
Mm-hmm.
Our hope is that we can help you be successful as you go through the process. I have created a handout, and I apologize, there are a few typos in it. I did it pretty quickly, but I thought it might help guide the discussion a little bit on just some things to think about. I'm just handing it this mm-hmm. way, so maybe we can give one to your recorder and then one down here. We've got a couple people in the back here as well. And we can go through this in as much detail or as little detail as you wish. And I think the timing of this discussion is great, because it takes time. I mean, it takes time to set up your processes and to think through it, and to begin to think about what you want your development review system to be long before all of a sudden, we're within 90 days, 60 days, 30 days of getting this adopted. What are we going to do when that day arrives? And so this is, I've tried to categorize this based on the professional manual I have and just tailor it to your needs a little bit and start with some of the core activities in just a development review system. And this is just kind of a general set of core activities, and I can just highlight these and just kind of tell you what's in here. We can get into more detail if you'd like. But just the big picture things, project or an application entry into the system. First of all, what's your system? Do you have a system? It can be as simple as you have a spreadsheet on an Excel, and you just type it in, so you begin to, okay, project number one is this, and when is it, you know, things like, and we can share our system with you so you see what types of information we enter. When was it entered? And that's important for state law. Because their state law begins to set time frames on when things have to happen in a development review system. Pre-application system, how do you work with people that are interested in conducting projects? Do you have your staff planner do it? Do you have a staff planner that's on staff all the time, or do they just have, given it's a smaller jurisdiction, you just have set hours, a couple days a week, and we're people can come in and talk from 10 to 1, or whatever the case may be. But how do you work with people before they submit an application, or the public? Well, you know, I heard that there's a project proposed down the street, and I'd like to find a little bit more out about that. When can I come in to learn about it, or when is the meeting scheduled? How do you pay for it? And this is a big topic for a lot of jurisdictions. Is it, and communities are split across the state. I would say every jurisdiction has fees that support their system, but the question is to what extent. For example, a city like Medford, I think it's about 50-50. The general fund of the community pays for about half of it, which then lowers the costs for applicants, where it's they pay about 50% of it in fees. In most of the communities in Deschutes County, it's all fee supported, which means that the fees are significantly higher, but then you don't have the costs coming out of your general fund, which you have to pay for other services.
Excuse me. Yeah. When you're talking about project, what do you see as a project? I mean, is that building a stadium,
It could be anything. It could be if somebody wants to build a garage to the end of their house, or it could be the whole new rodeo ground.
So this would be the public out there, not what the city would be doing.
Exactly. Unless the city is doing a project.
Okay.
And then the city has to go through its same process.
Okay.
Just like a private property owner.
Okay.
Sure.
Right. What I'm thinking about is your responsibility in reviewing what property owners want to do. And property owners may be public, private, nonprofit entities, but how do you review what it is that they want to do on their property?
Okay.
And this is just land use. This is just planning. This isn't building and we can talk about code enforcement if you wish later, what happens when the project is built or approved. But in any event, one of the keys is how is it paid for?
Mm-hmm.
Application intake. Where do people do that? Where do they go? Do you have an office? Is it here? Do you have a special office that you rent?
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, right now they come into our building, in Bend, which isn't. We have an office here as well, where they can come in one day a week. But if someone wants to come in on a Friday, and we're not open that Friday, they have to come to Bend. So one of the things to think about is where. Where is the physical location? And then, of course, down the road, one of the things you can begin to think about, this is definitely down the road, is the whole electronic submittal of plans. That's a whole new thing to think about, but that may be many, many years away. Project review and decision. This is really the meat of the whole process and the whole project. Once an application is submitted, the city is required to provide all affected agencies 14 days to provide written comments to determine whether an application is complete or incomplete, and that's determined by state law. Both of those time frames are. And for example, if a project is going to have an impact on a state highway, ODOT receives notice, and they have 14 days. So you need to have a process by which, okay, we have the application, we have to send it to ODOT, and now they have 14 days, the clock starts ticking, in which they have to provide comments back to you. Or it could be the Bureau of Land Management. It could be a fire district. It could be your sewer district or a water district or the sheriff or whomever the case may be. And then within 30 days, it's critical, because if you don't have the information that you need, you need to determine, the city will need to determine the application incomplete. I can't emphasize it enough. Once an application is deemed complete, and then, oh, you know what? We forgot to ask for the traffic study. The applicant can say, sorry. You can base your decision on the application, on the materials that you have, because you, as the city, have said application is complete. And we had this issue with the county up until just a couple of years ago, where we would think a land use decision might be fairly straightforward on a piece of property, and we didn't collect fees for our hearings officer that we have to pay as a land use attorney. You're doing this for the city, but the point was we didn't collect all the fees we needed to pay for the hearings officer.
Right.
You know, all of a sudden people are kind of angry about this. We should send it to a hearing, and the public would say, you know, it's not part of my application. It's on your dime. And so, because we didn't ask for it in those 30 days.
But now, if you ask for it and they don't provide it, okay.
Then the application is incomplete.
Okay.
Now, another big difference between a city and a county, and you don't realize until you're in the middle of it, is that the city is required by law to make land use decisions and address all appeals within 120 days of determining an application is complete. And this is a change for us right now, the county, because the counties have 150 days. But now that we effectively act as a consultant to the city, these are effectively your land use decisions. We have to issue, not just issue the decision within 120 days, but you have to make sure that there's time for the appeals process to roll out. So our goal is always to get a decision within 45 to 60 days of an application being deemed complete. So somebody submits an application on day one, on day 30 it's deemed complete, you then have 120 days to go through the process. The first 30 days are excluded. It's 120 days once the application is deemed complete. And then your code, when you go through the process, you'll determine all of your procedures for how you want those different land use decisions to be decided. Is it administrative, which means your staff planner or your consulting planner, which we do at the county as well. You know, we believe this application clearly meets the criteria and the code, and therefore we believe it can be approved. So we approve it. Now, if somebody disagrees, they can appeal it to the hearing body. Or you'll decide, no, we think that anything that's conditional use, which there's some level of subjectivity to it, we think it should come to us. And that, for example, that's what Redmond does. Redmond, the planning director in Redmond, I had the discretion of doing a lot of those administratively, but the planning commission said, you know, Nick, we trust your judgment. However, we want to see in our public hearings on anything that is conditional use, because the neighbors, even though the staff may not perceive an issue among neighbors, we want to see it. So you'll just work through that whole range of issues as you go through your procedures in how you want them processed, and then that will significantly affect your whole development review process and what your staff does. And it will also affect your fees, because the more things require planning commission and city council approval, you may have higher fees for those.
Nick, excuse me, Neil, I wanted to throw this in, but I mean, a lot of statistical data is already really established. As we go along with the county, when we get all these numbers in with the county, you know, we'll be able to set up Lapine based on, you know, historical data that has been happening within the city boundaries, you know, from the county. And so, again, we don't need to, you know, reinvent anything here. All this information is already coming. You're already providing us, you know, and thanks for that too, that providing all the information on the permits and you know, all the activity within Lapine. We understand that's, you know, more work for you folks at the county level, but it's tremendous for us to help us, you know, get started. You know, what's historically happened,
right,
and how we can, you know, take off on this thing. And so, all that's just very critical. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And we're certainly pleased to provide it. And one of the things I think that would be important is you begin to go through your code and you begin to develop your different zoning districts. And my understanding, James and Deborah will be your
right
consultants going through that process, which is great, because they both know many of the county's codes. And one thing that you'll have with them is they'll both know to think about what is here now and what, as you create your new code, mm-hmm. how do you make sure that what is here is legal? So in other words, you don't have where you're creating non-conforming uses that you may not, that may not be the intention. All of a sudden, somebody wants to change it. Uh-oh, we don't comply with the code, so therefore we can't. Mm-hmm. The box on the top of the next page is construction inspection. One of the keys is once a land use decision is made, the property owner or developer or builder will submit building permits. And that's a different discussion, but before the county can sign off on the building permits, the city, whether it's a consulting planner again or the staff planner, whoever, has to sign off and say, yes, this is a legal use. Mm-hmm. Because not all, most, but certainly not, somebody may come in and mm-hmm. just with a building permit application and, we forgot to get land use approvals. Mm-hmm. It does happen. Mm-hmm. So you have to make sure it complies with your code.
Now here's the other thing too, and this applies quite a bit of it, but if it couldn't, you know, essentially any one of these items or all be, you know, at first subcontracted out. We've had this discussion mm-hmm. before, and it basically is now with the county. So as we begin to have our own department, you know, some, if not all of us, you know, maybe subcontract out at first by the county. So your inspectors, your code enforcement, all that, you know. I mean, you know, and times are real slow right now, so maybe the inspectors might need more work, you know, and they have the time mm-hmm. to do more work, so they can do, you know, work for Lapine, be subcontracted out.
Right. And it's a good model. Is our model with Redmond and with Redmond at this point, where we provide the building services, but they do their own planning. Mm-hmm. So somebody will submit a building permit.
Sure.
And actually, they'll send it. They'll apply for it at the city or at the county there, and the planner will sign off on it, and then it's shipped to our staff. Either I don't know if we do plan review actually in Redmond. We do, but no, it's all done in Bend.
Used to.
Which is, and so the local stuff still signs up to say,
that's
this
a little bit,
good.
You know, surprising to me, and that, you know, Redmond wouldn't be totally self-sufficient, you know, by now. I mean, I guess maybe it's
they actually were heading that direction, and they were almost there with the recession and the construction slowdown. They've actually reversed course. At one point, they had plans examiners and inspectors, plus their building official, but with
kind of regroup with the county, that's
the shrink. They've kind of stepped back, and now all they have is a building official who also mm-hmm. does plan review there. But we do the bulk of the inspections and plan review. Yeah. Nick mentioned it before, but one thing we should reinforce is again to make that distinction between land use and building. Mm-hmm. With the implementation of your own comp plan and your zoning ordinance, which is coming, you will have full, I mean, it's your show.
Yeah, on land use, yeah.
Building is a little bit different. There's a separate process under state law mm-hmm. to establish your own building department. Mm-hmm. And there's, I brought the law with me, I can leave with you if you like, but it's, you certainly have the right to do that, and I would expect that someday you will do that, but it's unless they're done concurrently, mm-hmm. we're likely to have some gap between the time you have your own fully functional planning service and your building department. So tying it back to Nick's point here under that bullet on construction inspection, we will have to establish a process between the city and the county, which is hopefully efficient and works well for the customer also, that we don't hold up anything mm-hmm. Because as Nick said, you need planning sign off on a building permit before we can issue the building permit. So whether we can automate that or somehow make that, you know, truly efficient, so we're not slowing anything down, so the city has the ability to sign off on really any building permit, even if it's a small project versus a large commercial development that we can get that done and not slow anything down.
Related to that, I think if you're thinking, you know, the difference between planning process and building process, is the reason Redmond is an example, they have their own planning department, but they contract with the county, is that under state building code, multiple jurisdictions can adopt or utilize the same building code. So there's not a lot of local flavor like they have in zoning codes. So that's why they do their own zoning interpretation of their code and administration of their code. Whereas you can get, you know, other jurisdictions don't want to be interpreting another jurisdiction's zoning ordinance. That's kind of weird sometimes.
But going back to what John said, basically, we could do some piecemeal. I mean, we wouldn't have to use the whole planning commission or the whole planning department. We could use, we could get into contracts with certain portions of it or whatever.
Sure. How does the fee structure work with Redmond? Does Redmond pay, Redmond City, do they?
Redmond has
Does the county collect the permit fees?
Redmond does 100% of their own intake for both planning and building. So they have staff, counter staff.
The county's inspectors are going to Redmond City. So how does the county get paid for that?
You can do it different ways. It happens under the county's contract with Redmond. We agreed on a percentage of the fees that they come in. We have other interagency service agreements with Cook County, Jefferson County, Lake County, where it's a little bit different. We work basically as hired staff on an hourly rate plus mileage. So we've done it both ways. So there are different ways that you can contract for that service.
Well, we'd probably be more interested in ways that are more beneficial to La Pine. So
certainly.
Yeah.
Understood.
Well, now we'll get into that negotiation later. Okay, Nick?
Good. Well, and then of course the next piece is enforcement. So you have a project that has been approved, it's been constructed, and then it's built and it's on the ground, and lo and behold, they had a great, wonderful landscaping, and a year or two down the road, it's just gone to a weed patch. Somebody says, you know, I don't remember that landscaping
winter
plan. You know, it says right here, you're supposed to maintain these trees and mow this grass. And so the question is how you want to go about enforcement and code enforcement. And that is a different issue for every community and how you approach it. Is it complaint-driven or is it proactive? Do you go out and look for it? Is it... And then once you determine that, then how do you work with property owners? Is it we can talk about ours, but you know, is it you're looking for common ground and strategies to approve it, or do you go right to a citation and say, look, you know, that's rare. Most communities don't do that. Most communities try to work at least initially. So
you know, I've heard of some communities, some little cities having a city employee that does that multitasks. In a small city, you know, you could have, essentially you could have this guy in his little pickup truck that drives around and he's checking the water meters, he's looking for code enforcement, he might be the chief of police in the meantime, you know, put a star on the side of the pickup. I mean, I've seen this.
Yes.
I've seen the one guy that's, you know, and La Pine, we're not going to have the budget to start out with this huge city staff. So I see La Pine with the guy in the pickup, and he goes around and he does, you know, I mean, you can, how fast he moves. I mean, he could do quite a bit of work in a small town.
But even in Redmond, they have the community safety officers that they're employed by the police department. They wear uniforms, but not guns. In summer, they wear a more casual uniform.
Yeah,
and they ride around on a mountain bike.
Yeah, you got
or
the
walk
spray,
down.
You got the taser.
But they walk up and down. But they do all kinds of stuff. They
mall cop.
Yeah, it's great. So I know there are all kinds of models.
You have to be a woman because we can't multitask.
Oh, so they only have the taser. That's what I get this all the time.
But we made you cheat.
I know. It's just a figurehead.
No, he's getting
kind of like the president.
Adele, do you have a comment?
I have a question.
Okay.
So, what I can foresee, and if it's a possibility, so do you currently have electronic plans in that land?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So, would it be a possibility in, to expedite things, like if you were to expand your license to include the city of Lapine, so then we're immediately set up with some sort of, you know, like an e-plans or something?
Actually, our electronic planner view is in-house built, so there is no license. We'd be happy to share it with the city.
Sure.
Do you want to put that in?
No. So those are that's a kind of a high level discussion of the core activity. Some of the other things just to think about. I have number two here, mechanisms for communication and problem solving. Well, you are the citizens advisory group, and you perform a lot of really important functions. In some communities, it's very helpful to have almost another subcommittee that oversees the development review process, and it's almost like an advisory board to the staff, or to just to help. It's really comprised of the developers. It could be a watchdog groups if you have somebody that's kind of the watchdog, neighborhood watchdog, that sees land use applications go through, and they can just help figure out what are the best ways to address these issues as you go through a process, or what are good ways to communicate with the community about new development applications, or maybe not. Maybe you're in great shape with your planning commission. This fees just come out of this professional manual. That it's something to think about. Mm-hmm. For example, one of the things that we did in Redmond is we would have focus groups every year, and we would have the division managers meet with a selected. I think James, you may have come to one of those at one point, or at least invited.
They all run together after the hundreds.
Yeah. but you get people that represent some applicants. You get some of the major property owners, and maybe it's just every couple of years we had a focus group or two, and I think we sent out 30 invitations. I think James is the only one that came to one of them, which we really, really appreciated. but anyway, you can get really good information. Yeah. How's this process working? Did we create the right process or not?
Yeah.
Is it working?
I think that would be good, yeah.
Yeah, we like our town halls in Lapine. So.
And one of the things that's nice is it's not, as a planning commission, you're going to have so many things on your plate. If you have the opportunity to do this, mm-hmm. great. If you would ever have a citizen task force, maybe kind of take it over. Mm-hmm. That you
and that's,
with
that's,
you
that's what I see in the future, you know, everybody get busy. It's all kind of economy driven. I mean, can you imagine if all of a sudden, you know, the economy picks back up like in, you know, the 03, 04, 05 era, Lapine could get real busy in a hurry, as Ben was. And boy, I mean, I can see having to get on board with some of the stuff. This is awesome timing for Lapine. We're studying, you know, the systems and getting ready for the big push. Because I do see that once the economy in California picks up, those folks, you know, they're going to move to Central Oregon. It's just a matter of timing. That part of their attitude hasn't changed. They're still going to move. They may have to put it off for a year or two, but they're coming to Central Oregon, and I think all of us better get ready because it's going to be a huge wave, probably bigger than what we've ever seen. With the demographics of baby boomers and everything, that we just haven't yet seen the numbers that could potentially end up here, and so we're all going to be probably busy a couple of years from now. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. No, I think you're exactly right. You're exactly right.
I get off.
Number three, regulatory framework, which is what the process that you're initiating now. I think there are a couple key questions down there just to keep in mind as you're going through it. Are the regulations are they clearly defined? Are all the different sections that you're working with consistent with one another? Are they objective? Are they reasonable? Just some good questions to keep in the back of your mind as you're thinking about what your codes and ordinances, how they're written, what they say. Are they achieving what you want to achieve? And that will be important. And one of the things that you may keep in mind, and as you begin to think about implementing your comprehensive plan, you may, in the process, think, boy, I wish we had tackled this issue differently. Now that we actually see how it may be implemented on the ground, James, you may want to jump in here if I go astray. But one of the things that you may think is, you know what, we need to keep another column over here of some of the tweaks we need to begin to think about making to our comp plan, because this is the first time we've done it. Maybe it's not going to play out quite as we envisioned. Or maybe we want to go in a slightly different direction now that we're beginning to think about how it plays on the ground and the comp plan laid out. Keep these listed on the side, and then you can actually, when you go through the process to adopt your new regulations, you can make some tweaks to your comp plan at the same time. So my only point is, I wouldn't think that your comp plan is, boy, we've just got it adopted and we better implement it exactly as we've written it, because be flexible. Just keep your mind open as you go through the process.
That basically is my question. Once things are set, I'm very much a believer in a common sense approach, and maybe this worked fine for 99% of the time, but you've got this situation over here that's different. Is there any kind of mechanism for changing things? Even if there is an ordinance and the plant land use and all that stuff, I mean, how flexible is it?
Go ahead.
Well, it's if you remember, we talked about one of the policies from the comp plan was to go back and revisit it every 2 years.
Right.
And we didn't even make it like a 5 years because it was so brand new. And we figured you would come, and Nick hit the nail on the head, is a realization once you put the zoning and the development codes in place, then you're going to realize, because the comp plan doesn't have any teeth by itself. You know, it's the implementing ordinances have to be in place. So that's why you go back and revisit it. But at the direction of typically the city council, but at the urging of the planning commission, you'll find things that you want to go back and tweak. So that's why we had built in, go back and revisit this thing. And I remember also telling, I think a couple times, if I remember, I said, the minute you adopt this thing, and it especially be approved with your ordinances, and Nick's laughing, because they know what I mean, the minute you adopt it, the very first land use application that comes in, you're like, we didn't account for this in the code. We have to go back and we have to do a text amendment. So that gets the process. You go back and you do text amendments and comprehensive plan amendments to fix it. Because this is a 20-year plan. You cannot think of everything day one, and there's all kinds of... what we'll be working on is procedures ordinance as part of this that tells how you go back and make those changes. So.
Well, if I was a real savvy developer, LaFine would be the first place I'd hit. Because they don't know what they're doing.
Well, the county's in charge right now,
And that's why we became
you can slip down, but anyway. We'll get there. And you know, the success of LaPine, the city of LaPine, no pressure, folks, but is going to be absolutely dependent upon how Deschutes County interacts with LaPine. They could shut us down, or they can help us and possibly improve, the whole county with some ideas coming out of LaPine. I mean, you gotta lend an ear to the apprentice every once in a while. Do I have time for a little story? There's a tractor trailer rig that, the story goes, it jammed up underneath a concrete bridge back in Pennsylvania. And all the city engineers and planners and mayors and everybody came down and said, how are we going to get this? A 10-year-old boy walked up to the scene and said, why don't you let the air out of the tires and roll the truck out from underneath the bridge? So, we might all help each other with this.
Oh, absolutely.
Sorry.
Absolutely. That's great. Number four is information technology. Just one thing, and it's just a general category, but just think about how you're going to keep the records, how you're going to store the records. You know, it may just be a file cabinet for a couple of years.
Great.
Yeah. Just as long as you have a mechanism. Now, it's good to scan them and things are recorded, and have copies and backups and that kind of stuff, but just know that that'll need to be a part of your system.
Nick, if I just throw in there, the county has extensive files on all the properties that are now in the city of LaPine, all the development records and permit history and all that is all scanned and electronic, and we will be happy to make that all available to the city.
We got a big file cabinet, Patty, in there.
Most of it, we don't even have the paper anymore. It's all scanned electronic.
So, you know, one, the guy that the meter reader with the pickup truck, hopefully he'll be an IT specialist, and we just, you know, he's doing that.
It's one of the other course things, and it's what our electronic system is able to do, is to share information, and just from web pages and maps and files.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. I mean, especially if we have, you know, access, just free access with the county and a good working relationship. I mean, it's just going to be, it's going to be awesome, because we're essentially just going to take what has worked. We've discussed this philosophy before, and not change that, and only change the things where we see need to be unique to the mind. So it's going to be great. Adele, go ahead.
So the like, for instance, when you were talking about the electronic file, and it's in a GIS. So could that possibly, could you like section off that, and so that we could be the caretakers of that electronic mapping and everything, like, so that we would have GIS immediately?
So just the Pine section, you mean?
Yeah, so that it would just develop it off.
Well, that question is actually a little more complicated than that. GIS is a software platform for mapping and analysis, and I mean, it's a tool, you know, much like Excel is a tool to work with. On our website now, we have two programs. One's called Lava, and the other is CD Maps. That you can query on today within the city of La Pine, that has all of our history. That is a separate program that plucks data from different sources depending on what the user is interested in seeing. So I'm not a techie by any stretch, but I would think that there would be a way to, I mean, that tool is available to you now and will continue to be. Mm-hmm. As far as the city having its own similar mechanism for retrieval of information, whether it's from the city's own database or from something that resides on the county, I would think there would be a way to create that. You may need your own technical assistance in establishing that on, say, the county's website. But I guess bottom line, we wouldn't be trying to hold anything back or keep anything from the city. Some of that process, though, may involve some time and money in setting it up for the city.
So I guess the second question would be, so then would the information remain in the county, on the county's GIS?
I guess it depends on which information.
Yeah, because some of it is already, because, for example, the assessor, it's the county assessor, so all the assessor's information is linked to our GIS system, so people in Bend can go and look at information in the city of Bend on their property, but the difference is, we have all the land use records and building records, for example, for properties in the county, but we don't for the city.
Right.
So there are some differences.
I think there would be, because if you expand that out to out beyond Deschutes County, you know, your system doesn't have records for Salem, and so I think eventually there's going to be a lot that is just going to be La Pine's records that we'll have to have our own IT person. But I think to begin with, wouldn't we, if we have, you know, you're saying that we have access to what is public record right now. I mean, and so as long as we can use that, it's great. When we get to that point, when we're kind of starting to separate, I think that'll just evolve naturally. Whereas some of those records, you know, Deschutes County will not have time for. I mean,
well, just to jump in real quick, I mean, it's like you referenced the city of Bend. The city of Bend, the tax assessor's information is countywide, city
right,
county.
Right, countywide.
But the city of Bend has recently, past few years, all of their land use decisions, their land use applications mm-hmm. are now available electronically on their webpage.
Within the city of Bend.
Within the city of Bend. And those are two separate systems, the county and the city.
Now,
the
Redmond Sisters, are they independent that way also?
Yes, I mean, they're not on, I don't know what they have available.
For with their land, but they're still, you know, subcontract permits and the building permits. So. Mm-hmm.
Right. Lots of models for lots of things.
Adele, did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because there are some things when you build your own school. Now, one of the key issues with Lapine is going to be, you know, we will have everything current with all the land use for every single property up until you begin to do it on your own. And then the
right.
question will be, do we do some sort of a contract where we could keep it up to date for mm-hmm. the city?
Yeah.
Or is that something you want to take over? And then you mm-hmm. then you would just look at a Redmond or Bend or Sisters model for how they then keep it going under their own umbrella. And then, it's beyond me, but
yeah.
how they then continue to tie back into the county assessor's office just
right.
as the cities do. So mm-hmm. there are ways to do it, and it's just people that are...
Well, is the county required to keep records in addition to the city?
Well, just for the recording.
Different sets of data. There's tax assessor's records, but then like land use records. You know, every jurisdiction is required to keep those land use
records.
That's
what I'm not. Yeah.
I mean, that's the only history that you have as to
right.
what was ever approved, you know, 20 years ago on the property.
Right.
So,
Well, just a final thought to answer your question mm-hmm. on the GIS. All the GIS data that we have pertaining mm-hmm. to the city, the different layers of zoning, roads, soil, aerial photography, all that. At some point in the future, when you decide you want to have your own service, that will be current, and you will mm-hmm. that's available to you mm-hmm. from that point forward. Similar to rendering new land use decisions, you want to do more detail, more mm-hmm. specific data mining for your own stuff, your own aerial, your own zoning layer is a mm-hmm. good example, your own
yeah.
street layer,
yeah.
that will be something that you will build on your own. That will be part of your system, and hopefully, you know, we'll continue to share. We share now with the cities, and so we all have, you know, the most complete information.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that isn't, you know, is less and less proprietary than it used to be in terms of GIS data.
You know, a good example of that is the comprehensive plan map. Right? We had our graphics person create that map,
mm-hmm.
and it's available. I think we presented it to the city on a disk, but. You know, so somebody that has the capabilities of bringing that type of data up in an electronic system, mm-hmm. computer system, could manipulate that.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, you have the information, but where is it stored? How is it used? Mm-hmm. Who's using it? Becomes, I think, kind of what you were just talking about. We can, as consultants, we'll provide that to you, but then
yeah.
how do you use it? How do you manipulate it?
Mm-hmm. Just different components mm-hmm. of all this transition.
Exactly. Yeah. Number five, I just got into a little bit more detail on the physical space, just to think about, again, where the development review occurs, how do applicants come in to one location, and this is a big issue it's been a real hot topic over the last 10 years in particular, about creating a one-stop system, which
mm-hmm.
I think Deschutes County's done just a marvelous job with. What is good for the customer? What is good for the people that you're working with? Do they have to make multiple stops? Is the burden on them to go up to multiple places to get the permits and to do everything,
mm-hmm.
or do you have it housed in one place? How does it work? And where can the public view files or applications or things of that nature? So just there's just things to think about in terms of the physical place.
Mm-hmm.
Number six is the organizational structure, and this is as important as it is for a city the size of Lapine or as it is for Portland Metro. Is are the roles and responsibilities clearly defined? Who does what? What in terms of land use? What is the council's role? What is the planning commission's role? What is the staff's role? And do you for example, give staff what do you want your staff to do? Do you entrust them to go and meet with the applicants and then make land use decisions or recommendations to you, or do you want them to be neutral? We think, you know, here's the application, here are the facts, now it's on you. What are your expectations of your staff, and what do you want them to provide? So it's important to have those roles and responsibilities very clearly defined. Do positions have the necessary authority to make decisions? And this could be something, for example, in some communities, and this is not uncommon, as James knows, in smaller communities where the city council is the ultimate authority on a lot of decisions. Mm-hmm. As you become a larger city like Redmond, the Planning Commission has a lot of authority to make decisions. And then the Planning Commission's decisions can then be appealed to the city council. Mm-hmm. So it's... Mm-hmm. It's kind of the roles and responsibilities, but it's also just what authority do you want to grant to each entity? Some of these came from this just this matter. Does the organizational structure allow for accountability for performance? Does it have the necessary resources? Is it cost effective? Who addresses problems with the development review system? How is it approved? Because they continuously evolve.
Mm-hmm. We are all small towns having a problem with delegating authority because it's sometimes misinterpreted as losing control. But you know, the way I look at it is, if you don't have control anyway, you might as well delegate it. Because because you're really not doing a good job trying to control everything. So I did 21 years in the military, retired in 2003 as a chief, and in the Navy anyway, the chief, his whole job is to be a go-between the officers and the enlisted. And what that chief does is he hears both sides and he delegates authority. Now that authority could be delegated up. The chief could tell the Lieutenant JG, no, you know, my men aren't going to do that. My people, I should say. There's about 50-50 women now in the military. Or, you know, you're going to do that, or... Okay, and then I'll delegate authority, and that's all that person's job was, is to delegate authority. Some may say that, well, that's because the chief didn't know, you know, what he was doing. It could be. You know, maybe I didn't know how to break down a 50 cal in about 3 minutes and put it back together, but I knew someone who could. Right. And maybe I didn't know how to run an entire department, but I knew someone who could. And so I see the council's role in a small city as that of someone who, as a body that you know, the city will only move as fast as that authority will allow the authority to be delegated. And that's. Go ahead.
I was going to say that these issues, a lot of these issues, will be included in the land use procedures mm-hmm. ordinance that mm-hmm. specifies. It will be very specific in terms of who the initial review authority is. You know, who's the final review authority, and mm-hmm. for what types of that or what levels of application. And you will probably get into. You know, it's proposed to be adopted by June 30th of next year, so you'll probably end up in a lot of discussion with the council. Mm-hmm. Those procedures, and who's the ultimate authority, and who is that the decision-making authority delegated to, be dependent somewhat upon budget considerations. Mm-hmm. You know, the more authority you give to staff to make decisions, a lot of times the more staff that you need. If you utilize the Planning Commission or the council to make those ultimate decisions, sure. You're all volunteer folks, you're all free. So, mm-hmm. you know, those types of decisions are going to be dependent upon budget, so it's keep that kind of in the back of your mind.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things as you go through that procedures is to either have a liaison from the council as you go through those procedures, or just have joint meetings on some of those mm-hmm. procedures so you're all on the same mm-hmm. page. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise, well, you know, we should like to have that authority. I think, you know, we're to be the final decision maker.
Well, we don't want to have that authority.
No, but the
committees are overlapping. Yeah. We've already established where there's members from each particular organization that generally overlaps into other organizations. And so that's where I see that communication happening right there is that that liaison from that committee. We, for instance, you know, we have a transportation advisory committee, and one of us on the planning commission, you know, is a member of that, a voting member. You have ex officio members from ODOT, accounting, and such, and so, you know, I think we're on the right track with that, with communicating. It would be, you know, it'd be disastrous to think that, you know, we're all going to meet at different nights and without any other communication get anything accomplished. So I think we're on a good track with that. Okay, now, was that, were you finished with that, Nick?
That's all I had.
I have some questions. We received, did everybody else get this about the land use, the urban, outside, inside the urban?
Yep.
I have a bunch of questions. I don't really understand what this means. it looks like you've identified some areas that pertain to Lapine City, and you're saying this is the current code?
Right, yeah.
Is that the right understanding of that?
Yeah, and I asked Will.
I'm sorry.
And you may be able to respond to this better than I can, but the key is we have... The zoning is for Lapine, but several of our standards are different if it's a standard that's in an urban growth boundary, which is generally intended for urban areas that have certain standards that they want, and areas that are outside of urban growth boundaries. And so we wanted to identify this immediately, so if we, frankly, if we would need to amend our code based on any of this, because as soon as I found out it's wanted to get this to you.
So basically, these are things now that we should look at and see if we're okay with it or we're not okay with it.
By our code, we're now that developments are proposed in the city, they would need to comply with these unless they ask for a variance to do it for one reason or another.
That's where because that's one of the things we said we didn't want to do was to cookie cut. You know, and I could already identify some things in there that I don't want all the blocks to be exactly the same. Mm-hmm. I don't know about how anybody else feels about it, but to me, that leads to the same kind of problem that we've seen in other cities. So I think the variance helps to keep the small town feel and, you know, the rustic feel and all that. So that was just one of the things. And I just wondered, and then there were some that are out of compliance now. Because they're not going, you know.
Yeah, and part of it is, I see growing up into a city from an unincorporated community is whether it's these are in county code or things that you're going to be considering for City of Lapine code. Some of those are things that are not mandated but guided by the state. You know, things that are intended to implement some policies in your comp plan. So, for example, like the block thing that you're talking about. It doesn't need to mean that they're exactly linear, 90 degrees. But with every given situation,
shall be longer than 12.
See, and that's the thing. It's a longer, but it doesn't mean they need to be straight. You can have curvilinear streets and you can have a good design.
And the lot sizes within that block can be larger than.
You can vary lot sizes. Mm-hmm. But things like that are intended to ensure that if I'm going to go visit the neighbor, and my neighbor behind me doesn't like me cutting through the yard, that I don't have to walk, you know, a quarter mile up here, a quarter mile over here, and a quarter mile over here.
We won't do that.
Mile. You know what I'm getting at? Those are the intent behind those things. And so things like policies in your comp plan that are aimed at reducing distances that people have to drive, or making parks within walking distance for kids. So there's a lot of it is, when you read those things, good tool or good mm-hmm. lessons. Go back in your comp plan that you just adopted and say, what policy is this mm-hmm. implementing? Whether it's county code or, you know, they're all embodied in comp plan.
You know, we are obligated to go by a comp plan. I mean, and listen to, you know, we're a public advisory committee, and so we need to listen to what the public wants. And so, and at the same time, you know, if it's state mandated, I mean, we've got to explain to them that we, you know, we have no jurisdiction.
A lot of these things are not state mandated, but the thing is, when you were talking about the density and development that occurs, and this is state mandated inside the urban growth boundary, it's assumed that you're going to have more people in a smaller area. So therefore, whereas in a rural area, you might not need sidewalks in a subdivision, you have larger lots, and it's not convenient to walk anywhere anyway because it's all spread, you know, neighbor to house to house is spread out. Well, in an urban area where more people per square mile, density is greater, you don't want people mixing with traffic on the streets because you have more cars and more people. It becomes an unsafe situation.
You know,
those types of things.
We're going to get really involved with this in this whole next year. But one thing I might say just throw out there is that one saving grace I would have is that, you know, I don't want to turn down development with too much red tape in this town. I mean, that happens in other cities. It shouldn't happen in this city. And we've all discussed this. And so the only saving grace is, though, is if it is a mandate, I mean, if it's by law we've got to do something, then we're gonna have to do that, and every other city that this developer comes to is going to be faced with the same thing. So that's where we'll, you know, we'll sort all this out. Is it state mandated for cities or is it not? And if it's not, then we have the flexibility.
And a lot of the things you see in there, they're not state mandated. I mean, they are typical things that you find amenities inside of cities because of the populace that you have in a smaller mm-hmm. area, the traffic that you have. And a lot of them are intended toward safety. They're, mm-hmm. you know, those types of things. And in terms of like red tape, there's different ways of getting at it. Instead of requiring curbs and gutters and sidewalks that are 8 feet wide on both sides of the street, you could potentially require a 3 or 4 foot wide paved path on one side of the street that takes care of your pedestrian.
Well, you certainly want to leave room for these amenities anyway, because as a city develops, mm-hmm. You know, and that's going to be coincide with when I move out, fine. But anyway, you know, because that's why I live here. But when that happens, we certainly need to leave room for these things. I mean, if we want to plant a little hedgerow that's later going to be the place of the sidewalk, you know, that's one thing we can do, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's various ways, there's various levels, and you know, for a developer, those are all costs that come out of their pocket to develop mm-hmm. something. And those are the things that serve as, you have to weigh what is viewed as an obstacle to bringing development, economic development to your community, versus selling the farm to having something developed that you ultimately don't like in your community just to get them here.
I can remember when they first started putting sidewalks in Lapine. And that simple little request, if you will, turned away developers in the downtown area of Lapine. Now, that's a pretty unstable developer in my mind that would be turned away because he had to put a sidewalk in. However, it does happen if they're unstable in those ways. And so that's going to be key right there in Lapine when we first start out is, you know, look, what else are we offering this developer? Are we wanting them to help build our city for us, or do we want them to come in and begin and get established first and then lower the boom on later? No.
And we'll get into all of those issues as we get into all the development code requirements. But a key component of that is, you know, getting back to what Tom and Nick were here for, was the procedures ordinance element of it, which is just the structure.
Yep.
Regardless of what requirements.
Well, this was my concern was, is this something that we need to address to let the county know right away? Or, you know, because there were a few things in here that, you know, like the church and cemetery and private schools and things like that, that I'm not sure we're in compliance with right now. So.
And I think it's an important question for you to consider. One is you could propose potentially an amendment to our code that effectively keeps Lapine under the current rules. But it's going to take a code amendment, though. You know, you could just say until such time that the city adopts its new code. I mean, you could do something of that nature. Or, and that's something that the city would cover. I don't know how we deal with city-initiated amendments to the code. But in any event, that's one option. The other option is developers or applicants would pay, I just can't remember, the variance fee, which is about $1,600.
Were any of these,
so, or you could wait a
timeline. Were any of these really new?
How much development is going to come in?
I'm sorry?
I'm going to say, you wait, how much development is going to come in that period before you get your new codes adopted next year, and do you need to do that code amendment?
Right.
So, because long story short, is you have the opportunity to change all of that.
Yeah, that's what I thought when I saw that.
Well, the worry, now that Lapine has an urban growth boundary, there are some changes how land use actions. When I read that, it implied to me that this was something new.
It's new in how we implement our code in the city of Lapine. It was different before you had an adopted urban growth boundary.
Because we were county.
And our code differentiates between how our code is implemented in a city. County to a city.
Right.
Exactly.
You didn't have an urban growth boundary.
Right.
So
right.
Your code is telling you half of what
you're right.
Okay, so excuse me, there isn't anything on here new.
Yes, it is. It's all new to our city.
Well, to our city, but I mean, as far as other cities in the state of Oregon.
Well, and the county.
We were the county before, so these didn't apply because they weren't in the urban.
So
in
other, all these are applicable within Redmond, Bend, Sisters.
Right. Well, probably.
In their urban growth boundaries outside of their city limits.
Okay.
Because
our urban growth boundary corresponds with our city limits. So.
And you're still utilizing the county for land use review purposes and the county development code. So that's why these are applicable.
Right.
So that's why we kept saying that when you get done with your comp plan, it's going to be crucial to get your codes in place really quick.
Yeah.
So that,
I mean, I could see, you know, sidewalks being a problem. To a developer, he says, no one else has sidewalks. Why do I have to put both sides?
Well, for the most part, we actually do have sidewalks through most of the city, you know, that's within it, but not on both sides.
Right.
And, you know,
and blocks.
So, I mean, I just see a few things that
it's a little bit restrictive, 1,200 feet.
We're either out of compliance now with the, you know, with the city.
You may adopt things with, when the county's no longer implementing or using their ordinance inside the city of Lapine. If you adopt standards, development standards that require things like sidewalks, require curbs and gutters, you will have development that's out of compliance. Every community in the nation, except for a community that starts from, you know, what is it, Celebration and whatever in Florida, that's a brand new community with their own ordinance.
Yeah, Disney
has things that are non-conforming uses, but they're legal non-conforming uses. They don't have to come into conformance. illegal.
That was my other thing about the grand, you know, does the grandfather kick in on that?
Yeah, so that's the thing.
If you were to go drive around areas of the periphery of Bend or Redmond, for example, you'd see segments of sidewalk that are just on one property.
Okay.
Even in downtown Redmond, there's places.
And that, you know, that's going to be critical, I think. Rory mentioned grandfathering to Lapine. Lapine is not a place where I can see you come in and just sort of gavel down and say, okay, you guys are going to have to come out of pocket and do all this stuff. This is one of the poorest sections of Deschutes County.
Mm-hmm.
You are not going to come into Lapine and say to an existing person who's been there for 20 years and say you're going to change everything.
No.
You're not going to do it.
No.
We'll just shut this, I mean, we'll scare away, because that person right there will go to the old town hall meeting, and then the developer will be sitting there, and he's going to say, and the developer's going to go, oh my God, what did I think about Lapine? And he's going to go run it. And so that's crucial. To the development.
When you hear that though, and I'm your consultant working for you, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to make you think about, do you want to sell out to the developer? Because I work for developers, and they will cry and whine about every single little thing that they don't want to do.
And that's one thing. We want to
always scare off development.
New development. Get them to pay for half a sidewalk.
If you do have a significant development proposal in the next year, they're going to be able to afford $1,600 for their application compared to what they're. I mean, if it's really that.
One of the other things I noticed on here was the guest ranch and the, you know, not within 10 miles of the
UGB.
Yeah, the UGB. We have Ghost Rock Ranch and we have the Diamond Lodge. That are both within what would happen with them? I don't know if there are others.
Two things. Number one, it's not going to change what's already there. But the second issue is that we're actually taking an amendment to the guest ranch that takes that out of our code to our planning commission in early May.
Okay.
And it'll get to the board in February per a new state law that was just adopted.
Well, you know, it makes sense when you've got a big city and it's growing and growing and growing, but when you've got space in between it and the trees and all that, it doesn't make sense.
Well, it's population greater than 50,000, it says. So that wouldn't be the point.
True. That's true as well. Yeah.
Yeah. At this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes.
Yeah. And then.
But again, I just wanted you to be aware of.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to understand what I was reading.
Raised questions. I said, oh, we need to have the full spectrum of what we're talking about here and get it to you as soon as it was identified.
Yeah.
And this was 2 days after the board approved the EGB, so.
Yeah.
We tried to be responsive quickly.
Oh, yeah. No, I appreciate
so.
Myself. It's very informative, you know. I'm not sure how much of that I'll retain.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to provide the checklist. So
the checklist.
Yeah, to think through.
Yeah, that helps.
And you can almost, with James is an incredible resource for you, almost create a work plan just how, if this is the goal.
Mm-hmm. You know, and
what do you do?
At some point, I would like to maybe request that we have a work session with the city council as we get a little bit down further so they understand and we all are on the same page on some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they know why we're asking for what we are and they can voice their concerns and ask their questions too. So.
And one of the other great things you can do is you have a lot of great resources in this region. You can take site visits, go down and look at some of the other smaller cities around mm-hmm. our region, carpool down and how do you do this? And just kind of walk through, what is your space like? And utilize the resources that are right here.
Yeah.
Excellent. That was very good. Thank you.
Rick, you're welcome.
Happy
to come down.
Very informative. And thanks for the checklist. I'm sure we'll be using that. Mm-hmm. We will be training more. That's going to be crucial to this planning commission. Is training.
Do you have a flow chart that would be land use, not a flow chart for construction?
I don't.
We do for the building permit process.
That would be helpful.
That's a good one for
land use too, I can't remember, but I'll send.
With the land, with the land district.
It's an internal process. It just kind of maps.
It's ours.
Once someone walks in our door, till the time they leave with their approved permit, what
happens? And it, I think it would kind of give you a really good idea of the time frame, and the, it distinguishes early on land use and construction.
And I have some examples from other places. All of those up as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need all the help we can get, believe it.
Well, and the great thing is, we recreate the wheel. If it's out there, you realize what's available.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know if you're in the press release with the council.
Sure. The packing people.
Sure.
Are there any other questions for either Nick or Tom?
No.
No? All right.
You answered all of our questions.
Thank you, Tom.
We just put on the board when you answered it. We'll come up with some time, I'm sure.
Good. Well, thank you very much.
A bit overwhelmed.
What if they leave?
But as we started, the great thing is you have time.
Yeah.
You have time.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere, and you can ask us all the questions you think of 10 minutes from now, whenever you like.
Thank you.
Okay, agenda item number 7, we have the update on Name the Neighborhood Contest. I'm sure James has some statistical data that's going to blow us away.
I do. I talked to her about this today, and I think she talked to you today, and there have been no submittals. One submittal.
Our neighborhood.
Everybody waits the last minute in life.
Well, that's Lapine.
That's worldwide.
I saw there was seven or eight on the White School building. So
I was talking to Dan Barco. We had an idea about a last minute push, but we thought there'd be a few more submittals.
What is the date that we're asking for?
May 15th. Yeah. Coming up in like 3 weeks. Dan and I looked at the calendar and we were discussing a possible volunteer little team to go out with flyers and hand them out. Kind of a combination Planning Commission Chamber type event on Saturday, May 8th at 2 p.m. Now, that is not set. Just pencil that in, everybody. Saturday, May 8th at 2 p.m.
Hopefully they don't think we're with
them. For a couple hours, 2 to 4, or whatever.
They're going to think we're with the... too late for the Saints. Come by the Senior Center because the Highlands Car Club's having their swap meet and it's a huge one.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably be here anyway. So I'll
has anything been distributed in the schools? Or the schools are always a great source.
Someone mentioned the schools, but I don't know.
But the question
exactly
was
happened.
Who was going to do it?
We posted that at the schools, talked to the admin staff about trying to encourage students, particularly the resident students, you know.
Okay, so that has been posted.
That was done
to
last week.
Okay.
And it appeared in both the Wise Buys and the Frontier this week. And there was a story, I guess, or public interest story done in the bulletin.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the radio stations was doing kind of a public interest story on it too.
And it could be that they wait till the last minute. And the only reason I agreed to it all on this last minute push deal was because there's not that many neighborhoods in Lapine right now. So, you know, if we could cover a few streets on Crescent Creek and go over here for a couple streets and put some on a couple of windshields or something. I don't know. Yeah.
It actually is a lot more than you think.
I know.
Jim and I walked in telling the people.
Kegel, too. That whole Kegel subdivision up there.
Kegel.
Huge. Yeah, and those are far apart. You got to walk a block to... You have to walk a block to get to it.
I say only hit the people that are outside the home. I'm not going to do any... Because if you go up,
no trespass.
Well, if you walk up to some of these homes,
yeah, those dogs.
So basically, didn't Dan say he was going to try and get a committee together to do that?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to him since then. I know he's busy with Tony too.
I think he already has you signed up.
I kind of agree on that deal.
Yeah.
So I mean, if you know of anybody, we'll try to do it. And then Dan himself lives inside the city, so he might have suggestions. And that's, again, I don't know much more coverage we can do with this other than boulder print in the papers or something. Mm-hmm. You know, the announcements, I don't know if it's, do the papers, Wise Buys and Frontier, do they control how the announcement looks?
Looks pretty nice. The one of the Wise Buys is right there when you open the page.
That's
it's nice and
blocked.
It's just in perfect position. Frontier isn't as positioned, but it's big. And it may just take a few runs before people really, oh, okay, I see that.
And us talking about it, you know.
Mm-hmm. It'd be nice if we could put it up like at Vimeo in some of the stores, but unfortunately we can't put the big posters up there.
Did it have a restriction that you had to be a city resident?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's how you can get more right there.
But you said where is the one at the senior center?
It's on their desk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't have room to have a really, really big one.
Yes, it's
obvious. Can we threaten them anyway?
Give them a deer tag.
Well, how about wording such as, you know...
You know, when you come up with an answer to this, let us know, because we cannot get
people involved. How about wording
the
name
well,
of...
Well, that's what I was wondering.
Do you want to use the name of your neighborhood to really sound goofy?
Dinner and whatever.
Okay, then.
Yeah,
private.
Why don't we name them, like, veal, pork, and lamb?
That
if you want to change that, then you have to vote.
That's along the lines I was going there. Yeah.
I liked what you said at the meeting about the north, the south, and the middle. You know, you want it to be that boring.
But,
you know,
I don't know.
It's hard.
It's
I had some ideas, but I can't participate. So.
Well, you can. I can't.
I'm not a Lapine city resident.
Yeah, then they really come.
Give it to tell somebody that lives in the city.
Can we change the wording to? If it's not anonymous, you can't give them a plaque and everything like that.
Yeah. No, but you could tell somebody that lives in the city. I have a suggestion. Why don't you turn that in?
Because. Well, everybody's here in this room right here.
Could make one suggestion.
Make a suggestion.
Well, I don't have that since we're supposed to be the judge. I didn't know that I was going to be the only one voting for my...
That's why we want you
all
to vote. Yeah, if it turns up.
There we go. I'm going to just put one in and you guys can decide.
So that's an update there. So.
Okay.
You'll get more before the 15th.
Thank you.
Otherwise, you might be voting them on.
He's asking all his golf partners.
Okay, moving on. Agenda item 8, update on Transportation Advisory Committee and Planning Commissioner applicants.
Have we got any more applicants?
I have.
Can I just make a...
We do have one applicant.
For the
transportation.
The one thing that when I was reading the ad, it's not a bad ad, but what I wonder is if we asked questions like, are you interested in getting an airport in Lapine? Are you interested in getting lights on Highway 97? If these are things that interest you, you should be serving on this committee.
Yeah.
Those are the type of things that might attract people to say, you know what, I really want a light at that intersection.
Or I don't, or whatever.
Well, and then that'll all sound good, and then what will restrict that is when it says you have to be a resident, because that particular position is a resident of City of Lapine only.
No, but we're also, not necessarily, well.
Well, it is.
Yeah.
But the thing when I did talk to Dan is I said he was under the impression it had to be someone from the chamber board. And I said, no, a chamber member that you present as that you want to represent the chamber.
And it doesn't even have to be a resident either.
Right, exactly.
Well, does the wording say chamber member?
It does say member. Chamber member.
It used to be a chamber member, but they don't need to be a resident.
Because I could be a business person that's a member.
And that's the thing, but when I talked to Dan, he thought it meant that we were looking for someone that was on the board. And I said, no, we just need someone who has interest and expertise, hopefully, in this area.
So did he have someone in mind?
He
then?
Said then he because he was afraid that he was going to have to serve. And he said he has his plate full.
He has a plate right now.
So I think that will give him a better idea as to what we're looking for. But the fact that
when was that discussion with him then? Today's
it was Wednesday. Last city council meeting.
So
Wednesday.
A week ago, 14.
Yep.
Okay.
So,
do you know if they're going to put anything?
No, there? That wasn't at that meeting. It was at the town hall meeting.
I know it's on the town. Do you know if he's going to put anything in the chamber news or get that word out or anything?
I think there is.
Oh, okay.
I'll look and let you know when I get home. Jim has a copy of the chamber news, and I think it was in there. But I'll look and
check. I had called earlier today then also on Dennis Davis, applicant for, he actually applied for Transportation Advisory Committee. I wanted to discuss with him the possibility of him, you know, applying to the Planning Commission and then also becoming a committee member on the Transportation Advisory Committee from the Planning Commission. Maybe that's why he is here tonight. So I might have to back off a little bit.
Oh my gosh.
I'll call him again.
Scared him off.
Anyway.
No, I was just thinking there's a lot of people that have strong feelings about what they would like as far as improvements, but they may not be thinking. It's kind of like changing the name of the tourism committee because they said they recently requested because they said, well, we're not really, that's not really what we're doing.
TRT committee.
Yeah. They changed it to TRT, and then I had to think about what in the heck does TRT stand for? And then it came to me. Transient room tax. Mm-hmm. And so they're specifically dealing with that. So maybe they're not identifying transportation with improvements that have to do with lights and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just a suggestion. What does anyone
on,
else?
On that, in those notifications in the papers, does it, who's a point of contact?
The city reporter is, and she's also the one that usually prepares those.
Okay, I mean, it's just one point of contact, right? What the point I'm trying to get at is we maybe want to look at having to have them call our numbers or something, the existing planning commission people, so that they can get an idea that it may not be as complicated as they are thinking. You know what you might, especially with an existing commission, it'd be a little overwhelming to volunteer for something that you don't know what your involvement will be, and so that person sitting there thinking, well, you know, I think I know what planning commissioners do, but you know, I've never been one. We certainly have never here, and go like, and really offer them something that's a little more softer than well, just get on here to City Hall and we'll run your app through. I mean,
well, see, that's
I'm gonna go like
you know what? I'm not even going to go down that road.
Well, even when we were interviewed, the city council asked me what I thought I would be doing.
Right.
And I tried
obviously
to
obviously, you gave up the answer.
And then when I was done, I said, so was I right? Are we on the same page here? Or am I
so
like...
So see, you could train the new... Commissioner.
Well, no, what I was thinking was perhaps we could, in the advertisement state, in the next year, this is what this commission is going to be working on.
Well, we could even have something that we could say for more information, or we could have something printed up as to what the expectations are of the Planning Commission. The Transportation Commission, what they'll be looking at.
A job description.
Maybe just
a flyer saying these are the types of things they'll be doing.
Yep.
And how often approximately they will meet like they have for the Planning Commission. I don't know.
But I'm thinking we also need to attract someone for the Planning Commission, which means if we state it, this is our next basic big picture project that we're going to be doing. We got this part done. Now is the...
Just a brief thing
about what we're going to be doing.
Because
so that they could come in and pick up a piece of paper, or they could have she could read it, you know.
Maybe we'll train you or something like that.
Because
it might be a little intimidating.
It really is, I think.
It could be on the website too.
And you know, the priority should really be the Planning Commission, so that we have a full commission here. Because
I know you're outnumbered.
We can take on. That wasn't why I wanted. I can handle you. Anyway, you know, we really need to look at this. Before we have too many advisory committees under the Planning Commission, we need to make sure that the Planning Commission is full force. Because, for instance, that's, you know, my idea with Dennis Davis was that he was a volunteer that wanted to get involved, and I believe he may be just as qualified for Planning Commission as he is a Transportation Advisory Committee. Because, you know, he's a retired field superintendent for Peter Kiewit. And Peter Kiewit is a huge construction company. Mm-hmm. And to be a complete job, multi-job superintendent of a huge international construction company, I think he could probably handle the Planning Commission in Levine. The man has way more experience than I have in construction and developing and doing. So, and, you know, that was my idea, is why waste him on a little committee? Get him on the Planning Commission, and then he can... You know, we would still need one person from the Planning Commission then to be on the TAC, but that's a lot easier to fill than it would be in the Planning Commission. I think there's no emergency right now. Obviously, we're doing fine, but I think we really need to continue our focus on getting one more seat. And I think any of us that are leaving, it should be required that we train on a replacement.
Well, all I can say is that if we don't have someone step forward, I in good conscience wouldn't be willing to just not offer to continue, but I would prefer not to have to. But it's one of those things where it's like, this is really important, what we're doing.
If we have a fully trained replacement, there you go.
I'm just saying.
Strike that
bird. It's one of those things.
That wasn't official.
But
all right. Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's just keep the push on for a new Planning Commissioner and I'd like to discuss a little bit about the Transportation Advisory Committee. Now, I think it is important that they begin meeting as soon as possible, and that the utilities committee is up and running and meeting, and we have a resolution, Adele, don't we? for the Transportation Advisory Committee?
Oh, this one.
We have a fully approved resolution for the Transportation Advisory Committee. So essentially what I'm trying to get at is the Transportation Advisory Committee can really begin meeting as soon as the folks can handle it. I did the numbers the other day, and if I were to attend that meeting from the Planning Commission, and Dan Varco from the, if you can't find anybody else from the Chamber, and there's one other, who's the other one? Anyway, I had a quorum, and I can't think of the third person. Anyway, we could begin at a minimal meeting. It wouldn't be advised, probably, but we could begin that. It's something that I believe that we need to establish before too much more time goes on, and get those folks up to speed. So if I can think of that third person, we'd have a quorum.
No, basically, you just need to meet and you know, talk about what your task is, mm-hmm. and you know, and talk about how you can get other people to be on it.
Just begin, you know, a monthly meeting. I don't know if we, I mean, it's up to you folks. If you want to establish a date and a time, I believe that we could begin to meet with that committee. If you don't, then we'll have to wait till next month, because we only meet once a month.
Yeah, but basically,
there's applicants that have to be filled out. I mean, from ours, do we have to fill out an application, or do we have to?
You just have to appoint someone. Yeah, who you want to be appointed.
And then
the makeup of that committee was already approved by the council. I don't believe they need names. They didn't need names. They needed the makeup. They needed one member from the Planning Commission.
I think you have to fill out the application.
So that applicant must go in front of the council to be on the transfer?
No, just the application.
The application.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I haven't filled one out yet, so. My time to back out if I want to.
We appointed.
You just need to be submitted to the council.
You're free to go. But I'd be willing to.
I had a quorum the other day, but I can't think of that third person. But in any case, we have one application that would be a member inside Neighborhood 1 or North, and then myself, and one member from the Chamber shouldn't be that hard to find, because especially if it's a member of Chamber, there's 120, isn't it, members? Mm-hmm. So that shouldn't be hard, difficult. So I would entertain a motion that to establish a date, a monthly meeting date, corresponding with the day of the month, not necessarily the numerical.
Like the first Tuesday or the second.
Right.
Whatever.
The third week's getting pretty full up for meetings. And of course the second and fourth have council meetings.
It would be May. And then here's the other thing too, is that with so many committees beginning to form, we might want to consolidate and back to back some of these meetings. I know the staff, you know, acting as secretary would mean more, is going to mean more time, and how does that translate into an overtime situation?
Didn't they say they could be recorded?
The committee meetings could be
just
committee
be recorded and not have to be do they have to be then transcribed?
Yeah, no, someone who knows how to operate a recorder,
but
I don't.
See, then you still got to have a city staff person set everything up, because they're not going to probably turn City Hall keys over to anybody else. And
would it work to put meetings back to back, or one? Of course, you don't know when they're going to end, do you? Mm-hmm. Gosh, we need to consolidate this.
Do you have to record it?
I thought it was meeting? Instead of having someone take notes that they said it
could be. Right. Yeah, minutes or a recording, but just a script recording can take the place of minutes.
Yeah, it could be just shorthand.
Because we were trying to avoid having to have a city staff member.
But you still have to have somebody set up the, open the room and set up the equipment, open this outside door. For instance, that locks automatically at 5 o'clock.
John said he'd have it at his house.
I'm wondering, you know, what the legality of, I mean, you know, I would be opposed to having it at my office, but what's the legality of having it at, you know?
Other committees that I was a staff person, and so we would attend various committees that I had an interest in, like Traffic Safety Advisory Committee and things like that. Mm-hmm. And there were never really any formal minutes that were taken or recordings that were done. There was like a meeting report and some highlights that were...
Just
to make it easier for
Committees.
I wonder about...
The community kitchen, they have, you know, they have to keep meetings.
Counselors and commissions and such. We're talking about advisory committees. I mean, I don't... We need to...
It might be because I could be wrong, but I thought the city recorder said it has to be, we don't need minutes, but it does have to have some record kit taken of it, and I thought it was maybe audio, but perhaps not.
Well, we need some to find
record,
that out.
Some record could be notes.
See, that's where I, like at the City of Bend, right, I'm still on the chair of it's the Central Area Planning Committee, and it's a council-appointed committee. You apply, they appoint you. And we have staff people that attend. It's typically it's the long-range planning manager that would attend. And he'd bring in various staff and the downtown manager. And we would get, meeting notes, updates, highlights. Mm-hmm. It was nothing real formal.
Like what was going to be discussed and then what was decided.
Was there agendas?
Exactly. And there were agendas were put together, mm-hmm. But it was nothing. And if there were big issues... they were presented to the council. The staff knew what needed to be presented to the council. And kind of the committee members knew what the council needed to hear about, if there were any decisions or any recommendations to the council. Because frankly, on the council's end, they did not want to read minutes of different advisory committee meetings.
Mm-hmm. Well, these committees are not going to be making any decisions.
They would just be making recommendations.
Yeah.
So if they wanted to present a recommendation, then they would document that and then send it on. Mm-hmm.
And you're not taking any monies or making any decisions on that, so, you know.
There was staff time at the meeting. You know, it was set up for more staff, but it wasn't a lot of time afterward unless there was some formal recommendation or direction from the committee to the council.
Mm-hmm. That would move up to the next level.
What did they hold them at, the meetings?
It varied. I mean, at City Hall a lot of times in one of the meeting rooms.
Okay. I'd be fine with it. But I have an idea that our council may want more involvement with the Transportation Advisory Committee to the point even where they may want to have it apply with the meeting, the state law on meetings, and in which case, I think we need to send out a request to the council that what will be the procedure for multiple subcommittees in the future. This is something that needs to be addressed.
That isn't addressed in that you have, is it, in the ordinance? About how the committee will conduct itself?
It is. Jeremy Green wrote up the resolution for the Transportation Advisory Committee.
This isn't for
I think I've got a copy somewhere.
I have it too.
I think it's almost the same one.
It's just almost the same as the commission and the council. And so what we have is we have a procedure.
Minutes and reports. The secretary will keep an accurate record of all committee proceedings, including written minutes of all meetings. Each meeting minutes will be delivered to the city recorder for filing. Committee minutes are a public record available for public inspection.
Will be posted to the website.
At the request of the city council, the committee will prepare and deliver the city council a written report summarizing all committee activities, actions, and matters before the committee, and any other information requested by the city council.
Okay.
Well, it's all basically the utilities committee.
And it's, it works
so
well
it
with the commission and possibly even the utilities committee and the transportation committee. However, the council should be aware, I think, that when we begin to form multiple subcommittees in the city, the council will not have time to develop, you know, these detailed resolutions to form these committees and such.
Well, basically, this is going to be the one you're going to use.
It's going to be a lot of play.
But one of the things that the council did do was, or they've added to the agenda, is committee reports.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a new thing that's on the city council agenda. So
every meeting,
when committees do meet, they are supposed to report back to the council. Someone is supposed to come and report.
Yeah, and I can tell you, I get an awful lot of requests from councilors wanting to listen to CDs of committee meetings and commission meetings.
Well, shouldn't when you have a planning commission, what you have in other cities is you'll have like a planning commission that will have subcommittees under the planning commission. The planning commission will then answer and make requests to the city council. The city council will have much bigger things to do in the future than to deal with every single subcommittee in the town. That's just the way other towns work. And so, I don't know how to proceed with this.
Maybe we need more clarification from the city council and express our concern.
Yeah, because the transportation...
Can you put together a request to the council and ask them what will be the procedure on reports in the future with multiple subcommittees? And you can think of better wording.
John, actually, though, I think this is addressed that.
Right, but
I understand that.
It's going to be overwhelming.
But
usually, traditionally, I think that the secretary isn't a staff member.
Right.
The secretary is a...
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and that's the way our minutes, our resolution does read, mm-hmm. also, but it our resolution also says that it can be a member of the city staff.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing I would say is you've still got to have somebody, if it's going to be recorded, you have to have the equipment set up. At the very least, you have somebody have to be here to unlock the doors.
The
keys are not given out to City Hall.
And usually the committees are during the day, right? During regular staff hours.
Yeah,
if that's the case, yeah.
Committee.
But mm-hmm. right now the utilities committee is at 4:00 and we close at 4:30. So
well, wouldn't it be handier to have the committees meet during business hours for staff?
But room availability is the only
right.
issue we might have.
Well, and it depends on your committee, what's convenient to them. I mean, when can, you know, if it's made up of working people, the only time they can go is the weekends or evenings.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the problem there.
What
too.
Date would seem more open to you, Patty, on during the day on subcommittee meetings here at City Hall?
Mondays or Tuesdays.
And it'd be during, you know, what time you close, 4:30?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we close City Hall at 4.
So 2 to 4.
We do have a utilities committee meeting that meets at 4.
On what day?
On Thursdays.
It meets at 4
Thursdays.
Little subcommittees, I think, would be fine to meet during... during staff hours, and we could try it and then change it later or something. I just think that we need to get some things, we're going to make mistakes. We've got to start setting some of the stuff up. It's, to me, the utilities committee, and I would not call the utilities committee a subcommittee. I would call the utilities committee a committee under the planning commission and the transportation advisory committee under them, and then they would have subcommittees under them.
But actually, the utilities commission, that doesn't fall under the planning commission,
does
it?
It doesn't. I think they just separate committees. By the way, we're looking for resident members for that committee.
Actually,
as well.
The way it's set up, yeah. Well, I'm just looking at the bigger picture of how other cities do.
Are they set up under the planning commission or under the council?
It's under the council. Utilities commission is under
utilities
the council.
And how about the transportation?
That's under us.
Transportation is kind of,
it's kind of a subcommittee under ours.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw this out there because most of the committees, typically the committees do not set their own agendas, which kind of cuts down on the volume of work and minutes and things that come out of those meetings.
Mm-hmm.
They're set by whoever,
council or the committee.
So the Transportation Advisory Committee is under Planning Commission, and you're under the council.
Right.
Your direction as far as what that, or that committee,
and it would make sense.
The direction comes from you and you come
because
from
this new development over here in the industrial part, we get that application, so we immediately need to inform the Transportation Advisory Committee that, hey, we need to look at these traffic studies and such in this one particular area. And on their agenda might be one agenda item. Mm-hmm. And it may be very drawn out and very lengthy. But,
they'd be told and asked what to
exactly
do and bring their expertise to that issue.
Exactly.
And I'm just going to throw this out there, because if they start setting their own agendas,
mm-hmm,
then that starts to politically and otherwise go astray from the council and whatever committee.
Yeah. Okay, so that makes sense, yeah.
They should always be saying, okay, what do you want us to address this meeting?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because it's just...
And it could be that, especially in this beginning phase, where we won't have anything for
tidy.
We may not have anything for a transportation advisory committee.
So I might want to send the agenda for the transportation advisory committee. I might want to send it to one of the planning commissioners that's on that committee for review.
Right. Sure. You bet.
Why would you be setting the agenda for the transportation meeting?
No, to the planning commissioners.
I would be sending a template. And then let it be filled in by one.
Oh yeah. Okay.
See,
you
make up the agenda for the planning commission right now.
Yeah.
So these subcommittees could just say, we would tell them that we want this particular agenda item for you, and you sitting on the planning commission would just develop this one agenda item for the transportation advisory committee.
There's a totem pole. There's mm-hmm. top and there's bottom, and everybody has their role.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's followed, it works mm-hmm. very cleanly, and nobody
right.
gets overburdened mm-hmm. with a lot of work.
Exactly.
But by the same token, I could see the transportation committee saying, "Hey, this is something that really interests us. Is that something that?" That we could do in the city, or that we're interested in, or we want to get information mm-hmm. for, or,
and
you know.
You're right, and correct, and what it is, it's kind of like asking your parents for permission to
mm-hmm. right.
do something, and if they say no, then
okay.
that committee, if they start to go off and do that on their own agenda,
keep the communication,
then it disrupts everything mm-hmm. in the city, and so that I just throw it out, it keeps the board
absolutely.
Very clean and efficient, mm-hmm. staff time efficient, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so where are we?
I'd like to establish a date so we can begin to... we have the resolution. We can hand out copies of the resolution and begin to organize the Transportation Advisory Committee just as soon as we can get a quorum.
And that might be your first meeting, would be to go over the resolution.
That's all it
because
is.
It basically spells out.
That's all it is. Just go over the resolution.
Yeah.
To start meeting with the folks and all that. That's all it is. Similar to what the way we started.
So basically, you're the representative to that.
From
and
the planning
so.
Commission, sure.
Yeah, so.
So you're trying to tell me to
you pick set your date, man. Get your people.
I kind of gathered that. Okay, you mentioned a Monday or Tuesday. What I'd like to do is, and not spread out every week so that no one ever has a vacation, I'd like to combine the Transportation Advisory Committee in a day that is could possibly be earlier in the day on, say, Wednesday, when I have to be at a meeting later anyway.
Oh, well, our next meeting
please. Could be the third Wednesday of the month at 2 to 4. We're beginning at 2. We can't actually put an ending time, can we? Could be 2 p.m. on the third Wednesday of each month.
So talking about combining the two meetings?
No.
Not combining, just having on the same day.
Just so you
okay.
have to go home and back.
Yeah.
Oh, so changing the start time of the Planning Commission meeting from 6 o'clock to...
No, just doing like a Transportation Advisory Committee meeting prior to, you know, just the same day, only just
okay.
prior to
okay.
the Planning Commission. It'd actually be better to be after Planning Commission, and it's an advisory committee to the Planning Commission. But you can't start a meeting at 9 o'clock that we've got out of here on Sundays. So, oh boy, that does pose a problem. How about? Go ahead.
Did I was just gonna say I won't be here.
On the
19th of May.
Yeah.
May's
getting to be a real busy month because we've got budget committee meetings starting up. We've got the TRT meetings going on. Everything's gearing up for the new fiscal year. So May is getting to be really full. Plus, we've got the city manager, maybe some special meetings for that.
And it'll give you time to recruit some people.
Not that you can't do it.
Yeah. No, that's good advice.
I don't have a problem with it. I'm just
that's good advice. If May, how would June look though? Is that going to look any better than?
So TRT meeting should have been ended by then, and the budget meeting should be
winding down.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's something unusual that comes up.
Okay, we'll put a tentative date on the.
So that would be June 16th. Would be the next commissioner meeting. We stick with our schedule.
Yep. Well, that's, yeah, she's probably already got that. You got that June 16th?
Perfect. Yeah, I've already got June 16th on there.
Yeah, right. So, what would you folks think about the fact that having the subcommittee meeting prior to? Now, wouldn't it would almost be better to have them meeting after. See, they get their marching orders from the Planning Commission, and then they have a whole month to perform, basically, so that by the time the Planning Commission meets second time, do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
By the time the next month, the Transportation Advisory Committee already has their recommendation in or whatever. So I'd have to belay my last on my thought about having it prior to...
The 19th of May?
No, the time.
The time.
Well, the question is, would it help if it how when we moved up our time?
Yeah, really.
It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all to meet earlier.
Yeah, and then have the TAC meet
after us. See, they would immediately that same day receive their marching orders from the Planning Commission. You know, I wouldn't be opposed to meeting earlier on Wednesday.
That's fine with me.
I'd like that too.
So, I would entertain a motion that the Planning Commission meet on the same day each month, third Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
However, change our meeting time to
4.
Whatever your motion says.
4:00.
4:00. And then have a meeting, have a TAC meeting at 6?
Approximately, yeah.
Approximately.
On a meeting day, what do you do from 4 to 6 when we meet anyway, Patty?
I have work to do.
You have to stay there anyway.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That might be a good plan then. So motion's made to...
Change.
To change our meeting starting time to 4 p.m. on the third Wednesday of each month.
I'll second that.
Yeah. Motion's made and seconded on the question. Anybody have any alibis?
No.
No?
I like it.
Those in favor? Signify with aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The ayes have it. So ordered.
Now that motion didn't include the TAC meeting.
Ah.
Do you want to make another motion or amend that one?
Yeah. Well, what if we're not over at a certain
Well, just
time?
To amend it to how I know
we
how
we'll
be in that
so we almost need another motion because that's completely
so
separate.
I think
so. So I entertain a motion to begin in the month of June 2010, third Wednesday of the month. This isn't the correct wording, but begin at 6 p.m.
Don't you want to put follow
or to follow?
I
think to follow the
follow the planning
commission
meeting.
Actually, because I'd probably put approximately
on the notice. I've got to put something on the agenda notice.
I would put 6.
How are they going to sit around and
6 or
follow
immediately?
We could
following?
Potentially go over 2 hours.
Well, you could if there's a presentation.
But no sooner than 6. Or following.
You know, if like,
because if we have to have a time that says that it won't start before this time in case mm-hmm. people want to attend. Mm-hmm. So, but...
How about 6:30?
No, I think
6
is fine.
6 is fine mm-hmm. in most cases.
Well, right now it's...
Because we could always have work sessions.
What you would do, you would just amend your agendas and you would get out of there by 6. If you
stay on track.
Lady. Yeah.
Normally we do. This presentation from Nick Lilac is quite lengthy today. So, yeah, I think normally we do.
Yeah.
We can leave it at that, and if they have to wait in the hall for half an hour, then that's life of a volunteer.
So, okay. Do we want, we're going to address the other committee.
Well, did we need to vote on that?
No, we did not.
Could you restate the motion just for the record?
Yeah. Somebody please help.
Okay, we're making a motion that the Transportation Advisory Committee will meet at 6 p.m. following...
Beginning of June.
No sooner, and the meeting will start no sooner than 6 p.m.
Actually, put
and
the
And then to follow, or what?
Time.
Just 6 p.m. following the Planning Commission.
Planning Commission meeting.
Yeah. And just... I'm sorry, include the date, June the
16th.
June 23rd,
or
16th.
16th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But your motion you passed earlier changes the time of the Planning Commission meeting. That's going to be effective in May?
Yes.
Okay.
Give us 1 month if you used to.
Okay. Now we have to vote.
Now, can you read that back, please, on the transportation?
Yeah, motion to have the TAC meeting begin at Transportation Advisory Committee meeting beginning at 6 p.m. following the Planning Commission meeting, which is the third Wednesday of the month, with the first meeting of the Transportation Advisory Committee to be June 16th.
Mm-hmm. I so move.
I second that.
Motion made and seconded. On a question?
Aye.
No, those in favor? Signify
aye.
By aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The ayes have it, so ordered. I'm going to write that down.
I hope you remember that third person.
Okay. Moving on to the Number, agenda item 9, Lapine Historical Commission discussion.
I have nothing to discuss.
You're just trying to make it clear.
Basically, we're appointed at the last council meeting.
Okay, yeah, just so everybody knows, we were appointed as subcommittee members. This will be a very informal committee, trust me on this one. To be the historical subcommittee under the Planning Commission. The only thing I have on that is the fact that I'm very interested in history, as I have been, and I would like to, and I have studied it quite a bit, mostly about Lapine here lately. And I'd like to see if, probably don't need a motion, but Patty, I wanted to read this to you folks and then see if this can be put in the papers.
Okay.
The big headline would be, Where Was Rosalind? Question mark. The Historical Landmarks Committee of the City of Lapine Planning Commission needs your help. We are looking for persons who can help us with the exact location of the old town of Rosalind for the purpose of erecting a landmark kiosk. 2010 marks the 100th year of Lapine's history. Let's all get involved! Exclamation mark. Please contact Chair John Thomas, my number, cell phone number, or Vice Chair Gloria Fleming. This is the first time Gloria Fleming has heard this. I apologize for that. But I was just kind of wondering if it would be all right. If
I really don't want to give out my phone number.
Okay.
So
how about City Hall?
Contact City Hall.
Yeah. I've already had a couple of incidences.
Okay.
I don't feel comfortable. So
how about would you want to discuss? No, I wouldn't want to discuss it with let's do this then. Just put for staff at City Hall, 1342, whatever it is.
1432. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Luana has, she's been gathering up information, so I'm sure she would be interested. Another, did you talk to Linda Stevenson on it?
Yeah, I talked to Linda.
Okay.
What my idea is to not restrict the involvement of the information in Lapine. Here's my idea about what sometimes happens in Lapine is that a lot of discussion and a lot of involvement is restricted because it's assumed that there are only a few people who know and understand things.
No, I'm coming from is that Linda's been working on, is working on the 100-year thing.
Right.
And
my idea isn't to not get involved with that, but this is strictly from the historical landmarks. This is basically just to get the word out that there is a historical landmark subcommittee in the Planning Commission, and also, not to step over the myriad work that's been done in the history of Lapine, but actually more involvement with the Planning Commission, because out of this can come future commissioners and transportation advisory committee members and all that. And my idea was just not to restrict it to my own,
Well, how far back do the records go up to Schutz County?
Oh gosh,
I mean they have to have plats back to
actually let me clarify something here. The purpose of this was actually more of a PR
to get the community involved
than it was to actually know where
Yeah, because I think that is known, and I think it's in the records. That's not yesterday.
Actually, I've heard each person I've talked to has a different exact location.
Yeah.
So.
Are you just trying to use it as a teaser? Is that what it was supposed to be?
And actually, what I want to do is get more people involved with the Planning Commission.
Yeah.
And that's simply all it was. Now, help me on this one too. That you know, if we get this thing printed, and someone is, you know, someone gets their feelings hurt, that make sure that they know that the purpose of this wasn't that we didn't know where Roslyn was, but it was to get involvement.
Yeah.
From, you know, I want that shy person who knows exactly what happened with Roslyn because their great grandmother told them personally and would never come and talk to anybody at the city hall. But I, you know, and then, and that's the person I want to reach right here.
Well, the other thing is that a landmark kiosk, that's something that we would have to get permission from the city council to pay for.
Actually, I'd be willing to do it myself. And what my idea is that if you get the momentum flowing, There will come the money, there will come the time, there will come the physical labor. I'll go erect the thing, you know. I'll pay for it.
You got to get a permit. Ask what Linda just wants you to put with sign at the
I know, that's exactly what I'm about to do. I'll do all that. And again, there isn't a promise in here. It says, for the purpose of erecting a landmark kiosk.
Yeah.
I don't think with that wording that no one can sue me if the landmark kiosk isn't up in a year. Yeah. So see, this is my idea, is that if we wait on too many things, nothing's going to get done. Again, you know, I'll put the kiosk up and all this net. And actually, what I wanted was some changes that anybody can think of that they see on this that need to happen, because, you know, I could print this out myself, and as far as that goes.
I would put on here a landmark kiosk marking a location. I don't know, you know, to mark the location or something.
I just assumed that, I guess.
Yeah.
With the help of the exact location for the purpose of erecting a landmark kiosk. Yeah.
I probably would.
But if it's if that's not real clear,
or at the location or something like that.
At that location. Yeah. Yep.
Well, when is the next city council meeting?
So when you get a phone call from someone saying that you can't put it on their land, then you'll know where it's at.
Yeah, you might want to run it. Somebody might come to the meeting and run that by them. That's going to be a short meeting, from what I understand.
What's that?
It's going to be a very short meeting. So,
April 4th or April
28th. And April 28th is a short
meeting.
Really?
It's not going to be any work session. It's going to be a short agenda. So, you know.
Yeah, but it would have to be added as other matters, right? I mean, the agenda's already gone in.
Yeah, no, it hasn't, but you'd have to act on it quickly. You'd have to get an agenda form filled out tonight, and I could see where we stand.
Yeah. Can you see any problem we would have with it, Adele?
Well, and again...
But I know that they're going to have an issue over that kiosk thing.
Roslyn.
I could change the wording on that.
A marker?
A historical marker.
Historical marker, maybe, rather than kiosk.
Kiosk people think something.
Yeah, it's usually a stone with the plaque in there. And, yeah.
Well, again, I could leave that part out and actually...
Historical
just,
marker.
You know, I could put this... If this isn't city business... I could reword this and actually do that, because I actually don't, you know, we're going to run out of 2010.
Well, if this is within the city limits, it is city business regardless.
Yeah. Well, not if it's just a request.
You can't put anything on city property without...
No, it's not. It may be in the city, but it may not be. Some say it's out way east of Huntington. I mean, west. Excuse me, west of Huntington.
That's true.
And it could be actually out beyond the park. I could reword that. I don't want to spend too much time on that because I definitely don't want to get a big issue. Yeah. I'll reword that and just make
it's
a personal
great
request.
Idea. It's a great idea.
Yeah. I'll just make it a personal request because I don't want to go to council and so it's just the council has other things to worry about. Okay. Now, again, we are just going to have a little Lapine historical subcommittee under the Planning Commission. It's not a real big deal. I don't believe at this time we need a resolution. The council actually already knows about it, and they're the ones who assigned Gloria and myself to that. So I think at this time we'll leave it at that. It would be nice in that we have half a year left of our 100th year to actually get some involvement started, but we may not have the resources.
Well, we're basically too to help protect those resources on the Planning Commission, to discuss any applications that would come as far as, changes or use or whatever.
It would be similar to any land use application that comes through the county that the Planning Commission looks at. It would be anything that is affecting historical property that goes through the Historic Landmarks Commission. Mm-hmm. But the county staff reviews would come to you, and it would be the two of you that would do the review for the commission.
Yeah. And then if we had any problem with it, we would bring it to the full commission.
Yep. And then our involvement should be closely tied in. Deschutes County Historical Society is probably 100 years old, so that's going to be one of our largest resources right here. So that's going to be neat to do some work in that. I can see in the future some of our zoning to include historical depots for historical structures, that type of thing. I don't know if anybody's been down to Fort Rock and saw that little depot they have down there. What they've done is they've taken some of these little old structures, a little church and a little grocery store stuff, and they put them together in this little park-like setting. Mm-hmm. So you can actually walk through, and I don't know if anybody knows about the old Knott's Berry Farm, the old historical mm-hmm. Knott's Berry
Farm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's similar to that. And Lapine could class its act up a little bit with a historical depot and some mm-hmm. zoning to that effect. Right now, we have the Grange Hall that is over 100 years old. One of the oldest buildings is still standing, and those type of things need to be protected. And when the city has a budget that will include such things as get involved with historical structures, I think it's very important to know what your history was, to know where you will go in the future. Very, very important. Okay. We'll move on to item 10, Planning Commission reports and staff update. Some of us went to the town hall. Does anybody want to know how that went? Most people are here.
Yeah, Linda was the only one.
You didn't go, did you? I'm leery of going and having too many.
Actually very positive.
It was good.
Very positive.
I have to wear my glasses.
Good meetings.
Yep.
Good meeting.
real laid back. There wasn't any.
I liked to the
opportunity.
It was over at Finley Butte.
The candidates, yeah.
We have all the candidates.
Wow.
And then, so let's wrap the council meeting last. Did anybody attend the utilities committee meeting?
I didn't.
Dave, can you give a little brief update on just exactly where we're at right now with the combination of Pine Special Water and Sewer districts and all that?
Well, we're currently in negotiations for the two IG agreements. So that would be one for the sewer and the one for the water. And we haven't come to terms with that. The city attorney is preparing a legal memorandum that's going to outline all of the steps that we would have to take to incorporate, annex, or extinguish.
Extinguish the districts to incorporate them in the city.
Right. There's a lot of choices that you have. We're looking at cost, like insurance cost, employee insurance cost. We're looking at funding issues with the guy from the RCAC, so it'd be the rural... They kind of specialize in funding and grant opportunities and that sort of thing.
Right.
So we requested their sewer and water master plans. We also are going to discuss the timeline. And then if Jeremy has the legal memorandum, then we'll do that. We'll discuss that.
Mm-hmm. Would they would both have to be taken over at the same time, right? Or could you take over one and then the other?
See, I don't know that. Then hopefully that will be addressed in the memorandum.
Well, I know the original contract for funding where they had to borrow money to expand and all that. That was the really big one, and it wasn't the city could just take it over, or there would have to be a whole new contract. But I didn't know if they were both together, or
They're listed together, but are they still separate?
I think
isn't it some components are combined, but some are still.
That's what I'm
paper,
not sure.
It says water and sewer district.
I'll ask.
Actually, it's water district and sewer district, and if you call them water sewer district, they'll correct you. Yes.
Has there been resistance from those districts to allow themselves to be extinguished?
No.
Yes.
What would you attribute that resistance to be based on?
Control.
These folks are volunteers, are they not?
They are. Yes.
Yeah, there's only one paid position.
Yeah.
Well, they have how many? Do they have 8 employees total? Or? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they're not paid.
So could we safely say that
they have 8 employees and then
the board members are not paid.
Oh, okay.
The employees are.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. That's probably one of the hurdles that we have to jump is to establish some sort of relationships. So in the current IGA, what we're doing is we're asking to be on their board. So being that they're elected, maybe there's a possibility for
a voting member.
So at least they'll, be used to seeing our faces and we can interact and talk.
Hmm.
And we also ask that their future plans include to be in line with our comp plan.
Mm-hmm.
So, and when they're planning, so that they keep the city in mind, that they're not, acting as separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a hurdle for hopeful.
Well, I know originally they were looking, they were open to that it would probably be 4 or 5 years before they would, So, but now as it's coming closer to that time, there seems to be some resistance to that. So,
and in my personal opinion, I'll stick my neck out a little bit, but that's the key to local control for the city.
Would there be a way to leave the membership as it is, and just simply on paper, annex them into the city. See, my idea is that there has been a huge investment that these folks over many years have put their own blood, sweat, and tears, and multiple hours in running these districts, and we all appreciate this enormous volunteerism that they have allowed themselves to be in.
I think you should come to the meeting and express that, and I think that would probably be appreciated by the district.
Yeah, enormous amount of time. The a main complaint across this nation is when government comes in and cleans house and takes over where they don't have any business. We have an excellent council, but you know, with all due respect, none of you folks on the council have ever run sewer and water districts, and so.
I don't think there's an expectation that the council would.
No, but on the other hand, is you can drive throughout any city that's of any size in the United States of America right now, and you will see Bend, Water, and Sewer District combined in a city. You'll see Salem, Water and Sewer District. You'll see Portland, Water and Sewer. And so, The districts, I think, should also realize that may be inevitable.
No, I think they do. But I like I said, the city didn't take it over immediately, and it was strictly financial. Mm-hmm. And the districts were running themselves very well.
That's right.
And, you know, for them to take... Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, they probably couldn't have gotten financing because they were a new city. But the interest rates, I mean, they did get good financing when they got... And they weren't willing to just hand it over to the city. So, but I think, you know, we're coming to a time where that needs to happen.
Think about,
you
know, think
and
about
I think that's
the,
what the utilities
the politics and situation
for.
You've got this enormous investment. You got this enormous investment, and you know it's.
And I think it would be foolish to cut those people out.
So anyway,
they said at the very first meeting when they assigned the city council, they were willing to do that, but it was going to be a process. And at that time, they couldn't even turn it over to the city because of the way their grants were written.
But now we're in the process, and it's just like Adele says, it's slow, and it's probably best to be that way. At this point,
It really would be. All right, that's a good discussion. But let's relate that to the Planning Commission, and I think, you know, once we start looking at applications and such in the future, normally what you'll do is you will deal directly with utilities, committees, and transportation committees when you look at these developments. And so, therefore... The more cohesiveness you have with all the commissions and the committees, the easier that this, you know, development will occur. So that's all that I would like to get to, is just to have people, you know, a common sense approach, just taking these things actually one step at a time. Takes time, but resistance takes longer, just for the point of resistance. So,
you know, that actually kind of ties in with the added agenda, because they have requested, or they do want a utility, a person on the utilities committee from the Planning Commission.
But there's a hitch.
What's the hitch?
Well,
actually,
because
we need
only
to move to
three. Okay, do we want?
We need to move to agenda item 11. That would be
okay. So
that's kind of what this discussion.
The hitch is that there are not less than three voting members will be residents of the city. They've already named multiple members, and from what I understand, that leaves whoever represents from our group has to live within city limits.
Mm-hmm. So that makes you or Linda, right?
No, it does not.
It does not?
No, I would talk to LaWanna about that today. Okay. They're grandfathering in Jane Benner and Ted Scholler and treating them as residents.
Okay.
So we're advertising for a single resident. So that leaves the planning commissioner could be a non-resident.
Okay.
That's news to me.
Because there's that grandfathering clause in there?
It's grandfathering, but it was understood that the remaining members had to be residents.
Any new
then
members.
Maybe there's some confusion. Maybe at City Hall we've got some confusion.
Personally, I really don't want to do that because I've got, you know, other ones that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And John, I don't know how you feel about it. So that would leave the two members would be...
I hate to do this, but I have a wife that's out of town and a baby sir that's got to be home at night.
Thank you. No problem.
So the question I have is, it's on Thursday.
James, real quick. The only thing is future training.
I mean, what
prospect off-site to visit other towns, whatever.
You don't want to make the A-training.
No, third Thursday.
So that means I would have two meetings 2 days in a row.
Me and Deborah.
And then the budget for 10 11.
Yeah, but Deborah prepared that. I didn't mean to do that to you, but...
That's all right.
That's okay. We can get along with that.
But that's next month is May, and that's starting to be drop dead time.
We can be available for council budget discussions too, where that becomes part of the budget request.
Yeah.
The first budget meeting.
Our first budget
17,
request
Monday
will be.
Yeah, but that's the budget committee. We have to present ours to the council before the budget committee meets.
Right? Yeah, they try to have the budget in place by the middle of May. Ken will probably, knowing Ken, he'll probably have it sometime during the first week of May.
Ken asked me that. We met with Ken when we were down here for the...
Make sure he gets that in there.
Town hall over a variety of things, so that he will, I think, include his line items, suggested line items in there for you to consider.
Yeah.
But we still have to present it to the city council,
correct,
the request.
Correct, it needs to be presented.
Before.
That could be the 28th.
Yeah, that would have to be on the 28th.
Let's put that on the agenda if you can. April 28th for a request.
For the council agenda?
It could be just.
Well, I'll have to bring you in an agenda request form. You have to
throw
that.
Oh, right. I can do that for you.
I'm actually going to be out of town. I know that.
Any one of us could. If you had it in print, then we can just read it to the council.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know?
Well,
very simple. Just simple.
Or well, you can discuss it. It could be that's the one that Deborah did for
us. Right. She gave us a copy.
Mm-hmm. And I guess...
And just from now till the 28th, just make sure that's still accurate, and then we could...
Well, we need to discuss it, John. She gave us those figures.
That's what
I wrote back. And
okay, Deborah and I are going to be working together tomorrow on some stuff, so I will make sure we pull that out. And,
okay. Tonight, then, we'll just discuss this amongst ourselves because I have it under other matters.
Yeah, so you discuss it among yourselves, and she and I will be together tomorrow, then we can amend it at your direction.
Excellent.
And then present it on the 28th.
Okay.
That'll
don't
be great.
Take it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That'll be great. Thanks, James.
Right.
Okay,
so...
Gosh, you should have said earlier, compared to me.
Lapine, City of
Lapine. Okay, so we are on to agenda item 11, other matters, and that's where I had one discussion on planning commission budget.
Okay, so we don't want it to finish the utilities committee.
Yeah, we need to.
That we were just discussing. Who's going to?
Well, there's some confusion because I'm pretty sure that
it doesn't matter. John and I aren't going to be on it. The only two left are the.
Oh.
It's either Linda or Virginia, and they're both in the city.
And so.
And quite frankly, if you can attend once a quarter, I mean, this is something that we're a voting member, though, aren't we?
Are we a voting member? Be willing to serve.
Can I use this for a minute? Are we a voting member?
Yeah. Yes, we are.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then we need to go every month.
Okay.
So
if I said I'm willing to serve, does that mean that... Do I have competition that would
love
to serve?
Oh, no.
Thank you.
Looking at a
2-year
term. Would she need an application? We can address that in December if she leaves.
Should we make a motion? If we make a motion to that, if she's willing, or
I have no idea.
Nominate her.
Being that she already has her application as the count as the commissioner, mm-hmm. that right. she would just need to be.
And you can tell the council it's the only one we have.
Yeah.
Huh? You can tell the council it's the only one we have.
Yeah.
So it's like.
Right. I mean, if at the end of in December I can. If I
we
do,
can cross that bridge.
Yeah, we can replace if we have to.
That can be part of your training to the new commissioner, that you can train him on utilities.
So what do we need to do? Do we need to take a vote or
We should just make a motion and a vote.
Okay. I move that Virginia Clausen serves on the Utilities Commission for on behalf of the Planning Commission.
I second it. John seconds.
I never get the second. Let me see.
You
second.
Good job.
Good.
<I don't.
laughs> I haven't seconded it yet, yeah?
Oh, you
make
the motion.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. So
motion made and seconded. Those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
No opposition.
So now you have your new... Thank you, Virginia.
Yes, thank you.
As long as it's just once...
My daughter has a normal thing.
She knows about.
Well, they have established time already, so she can know.
I know
what.
But I have to juggle my daughter.
You know what the time is?
Because to juggle her daughters.
Yeah, and that's my daughter. Make sure she gets dressed up with a friend.
So fast.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's a short meeting. It's usually
good.
Except the one I went to. It was long.
That was just tonight.
Okay.
Okay.
So, May
20th,
will be the first
one at 4 o'clock. May 20th, 4 o'clock.
And it's once a month, so it won't be too bad.
Not May, April, but May. May 20th, 4 p.m.
May 20th, okay.
You're looking at the April calendar.
Oh, okay. So it's not tomorrow night?
No, it was last week.
Okay, and then a discussion on the Planning Commission budget. We have copies that Deborah has tentatively made up.
Yeah.
Do we have all have that copy?
Okay. I guess what I was thinking was, based on what she proposed, that I'm okay with approving it based on the fact that if we don't spend it, we're not going to be like, oh, we're going to lose it if we don't spend it.
Yeah, it would be carry over to the city if we don't spend
it. Right, exactly. So it may be that they have an issue with the amount, but I'm not thinking of it like, we have this money, we got to spend it.
No, I don't think, and I, you know, if they, they understand it's carried over into the general fund the next year.
And they may say, we don't have that in our budget.
There's no way we're going to spend that. However, there are publications we need to start acquiring.
Mm-hmm.
Codes, zoning, building department type publications. Mm-hmm. There's planning publications. So that's the materials there.
We have a storage room too, so that's good.
You know,
so
advertising may not be.
I guess my you know, with a budget like this, how flexible is it? As far, I mean, I don't know. You know, if we did have to move things around, say we bought books instead of going to a training session, or
That would have to be key because we have discussed that to have flexibility within our budget.
Yeah.
Isn't that why they don't really like to have line items and they just like to have a general where they can move it around?
Well, and that's what my question was. I wasn't, you know,
because it could be simple as the wording. And that you could have a budget amount and say for the purposes of, and then you could just have a bunch of semicolons, or, you know.
Well, and it may be that this is the total we submit, but there may be questions as to why it's so high.
And so if we have this to show them
that this is, you know.
Well, I did question when she originally submitted the budget.
I thought, if nothing else, I'd like to see it knocked down $200 before it would be 23 something. This used to be my job, so I mean, it looks better. But my, is it going to be in the budget as a planning commission budget, which we can, you know, we could move things around within the budget if we had to, or is it going to be tied in to the city's budget, like they have so much for resources and things, and the planning commission gets a certain part of that? I guess that was, you know, that's one of the questions I had to ask Deborah on it. But I think it's a little high. But since she pointed out it is the first year, we're probably, our expenses are going to be higher because of that for training and materials and stuff. Because we are just getting started. We don't have any of that. You know, she knows. I don't.
Well, the training is key to planning for success right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Publications and such, we can borrow some from Deschutes County and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
These subscriptions to the APA and such, those are hard items that's if we're gonna be members of the APA, we have to subscribe and we all need to get the monthly magazine. It's five subscriptions at I think it's $75 or $95 a month a year. In that publication is everything we're working with, is planning. It's rural city planning. It's absolutely crucial to our success. The travel and meals and such, that it, you know, there's APA conferences in Portland and such. And granted, you know, that may be a huge party for some, but for me it'd be a huge learning curve.
Well, and I know, like my husband, when, you know, he has to go for VFW and thing, I mean, they do reimburse him for travel and, you know, mileage and stuff like that. So if you have to go to something, you know,
and actually in our resolution right now, it states that upon approval, we're to be reimbursed for certain travel.
So, and she's estimated how much she thinks that would be based on. So. Mm-hmm.
But, and her guess is better than ours.
Well, that's, you know, because that was my first thing. It's too high, and then I wrote her back, and she put more detail on it, and she said this is because it's the first year, this and that, you know. So
and you'll notice one of the highest lines there is your contractual services, GIS mapping, you know, inventory work, grant writing.
That's the network.
Do you have a copy of that?
Traffic analysis.
Okay.
I might make
that
copies.
That figure could be way low.
Could I make a few copies? Does anybody have this? Cause
I do.
Can you have one of them? Go ahead and give her a copy.
That will give the council to begin to...
Yes, it's transparency.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no problem.
No, I love that word.
Well, you know, we asked her at the last meeting. She said we were going to need a budget for the planning commission to submit. And so we asked her to kind of give us an idea of what we would need. And so that's...
It's kind of forming the basis of the whole department.
Right.
Because eventually... And you guys need education.
Yep.
Well, and it, you know, as we get into it and we contract, well, it's not so much contract, it's what we start getting fees and things like that, some of those things, you know.
It may be all.
In fact, that was one thing I did. I don't know if you guys, any of you saw the business news?
In the bulletin?
No, this was the business. The yeah, there was a big thing about the planning fees in Bend, and how they're getting out of. Yeah, they're going way out of sight, and people are really upset.
Do you want a copy of here?
Okay. Here's
the
original.
Because
then if you just want to pass these around,
they were self-sufficient. With the fee structure.
Concerned with planning fees nearing tipping point.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys get a chance to, this is the Business and Industry, it's the April 7th Cascade Business News.
Oh, okay.
And it's an interesting article. Because that's one thing we need to be aware of it. It's Cascade Business News, and it's concern over bin planning fees. And it's on page 7. That's where it starts.
Can I just make a suggestion? Last time we had something like this with the neighborhood signpost, Mayor Shan suggested having Deborah write what's called a staff report if it's going to be presented to the council as agenda item. I don't know if that's something you'd want to do, or if you want staff here at the local at City Hall to do it. Sometimes, you know, self-explanatory. This might be not as needed that deep.
Oh, you mean to present the budget?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it definitely needs to go on the agenda. Is the Planning Commission budget proposal for fiscal year 2011.
But there's usually a staff report that the council gets about agenda items, and if you want something a little more.
So you're saying this would go to them before the council meeting?
Yeah, they get this agenda. They get backup materials.
Okay.
And for the neighborhood contest. I can't even talk to it. It's been a long day, but anyway, the mayor thought it would be a good idea to have Deborah put together what's called a staff report that was presented, and I don't know if that's something you guys want to.
Oh, you mean for the whole planning commission meeting, or no?
Let me just say, did you ever saw the staff report that Deborah put together for the name of the neighborhood? Did she ever give you a copy of that? Okay, she put together a nice, almost, I think it was like a two-page staff report that went with the backup materials. And it was just to give the council a little bit more background, go a little further.
Yeah, maybe that would be a good thing, because just like, you know, she kind of gave me a little more detail as, you know, from the basic budget. Mm-hmm. Maybe she could give them some insight into how she came to these figures.
Yes. Uh-huh. So that when they come to the meeting, you know, there's some discussion, but they will kind of know why they.
Well, the main thing is that we need to agree tonight that this is, you know, we're okay with this being submitted.
Yeah.
And make a motion
for
that.
That's basically what we're just going to do, because, as James said, they will work on the report, you know, that will go along with this, and I believe he said one of them will be there on the 28th, didn't he?
Oh, okay,
yes.
Well, then they're going to, they should probably plan on the staff report.
He said one of them, so I don't know.
So I'm going to put, just in case, I'm going to put on the agenda item for the Planning Commission is the, budget request for 2010-2011, just in case.
That could have already been worked out. So.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. And so.
So I'd like to make a motion to submit the proposed City of Lafayette Planning Commission budget for year 2011 as proposed by Deborah McMahon, with a request that she submit a staff report along with it.
That's good.
Anybody?
Second.
Any discussion?
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion on the matter? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Unanimous. Ayes have it.
Okay.
And we are to. Was that all the other?
Well, the training. Now you.
Oh, I mentioned to Jane. I'd like to lay out the year, maybe not even a year, but first quarter or biennial or something training for us. In that, by the time this budget makes it through, you know, we're going to need to have some training. Now, he mentioned the APA. But that was
that's Friday.
Just this Friday.
Yeah.
And but I wanted to get them. Basically, I wanted to get staff thinking in that direction. That you know, I am requesting as much training as they can.
But what kind of training do you, I mean, you know, the county being here tonight, that was training.
That was training.
That was training.
Yep.
So is there something specific in training that you want us to
I think more in the line of maybe a field visit to a planning department. To just visually see how things are set up and such.
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
They have land use classes, like seminars, mm-hmm. given from OLO. Was that Oregon League of...
League of Oregon Cities. Yep.
And when you're reviewing as commissioners, I think that there's a lot of terms that you need to understand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the timelines you need to understand. And I'm not an authority, but I under this year, I had what we did it for my job is that we had to move private development under the CDD department.
Right.
And so it was in public work. So I had to undertake like all this training for the land use process and the construction process.
Right.
And it is really heady, all the terms and all mm-hmm. the timelines mm-hmm. and everything that you have to understand mm-hmm. when you render your decisions. Mm-hmm. So, yes, those land use classes, those seminars, that all keeping up to date with the magazine, those are all...
That's the immediate need. The building department, as Nick mentioned, will be secondary after the land use and the ordinances.
If you can distinguish those, the mm-hmm. land use, and then don't worry about the construction and the building, that's where it gets confusing because they have the different timelines, they have the different processes.
Yep.
And they always like interchange. They always are trying to interchange.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
Does the Leroy's, I mean, do they have a set schedule where they have these on a regular, like every 3 months?
The next one is May 8th, and I think the one after that is in sometime in June, and then they're in different cities. The one May 8th is in Prineville.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about a May 8th thing here. But
I'll bring the book.
Okay. Yeah, that's something that, it's just better sooner than later. I mean, I understand that, everything doesn't happen right now, but it's something that we, June, July, I mean, it's something we need to really look at doing, those tie-ins with League of Oregon Cities and such. Those are all going to be important. I would just like to see every month almost, and possibly, I'm running out of limb here, everybody, but, we can't learn everything in one meeting a month. We may have to go at a field planning, training session, on a Saturday or something.
Well, and we can't all go to all the meetings, so we may be able to have somebody come in and come back and mentor the rest of us, as far as what we learned at the meeting. So, one thing though, for our next agenda, I would definitely like to have everybody go through all those land use, the sheets that he gave us.
Thank you.
And highlight the ones that you think we might have a problem with, because like I said, I saw several things in there that, and I just like to talk about it, because I'm only one opinion out of, four.
Right.
And some things were explained to me tonight, but other things, I'm not really sure about if that's what we want to go along with or not. And if we don't, we need to bring it to the city council, see how they feel about it,
mm-hmm.
and then get back to them, because I don't want it just to be
because... Yeah, this whole year, but when this process is done, mm-hmm. those ordinances are done, and, the enforcement can begin the next day, so...
if we're on board with all these land use things that they have done, then, it's no big deal.
We'll have the state just join at the hip with our staff, because they are the ones that are going to developed the actual wording and everything.
Yeah.
They have seen numerical systems and the wording
right.
in these, you know, especially the Title 18 Deschutes County. They are going to be writing it. Mm-hmm. We're going to be...
Well, lucky for us, they've given us a template. We say, this is not what we want, and, you know...
And that isn't all.
No, I know.
Keep in mind that we need to keep going to the
right.
The Deschutes County website on the mm-hmm. Title 18 on the Lapine section.
Yeah.
And we need to study that frontwards and back, although we won't agree with half of it. We'll have to study it and know what is in place right now. That'll help us change things in the future, but we need to know what's in place right now.
Yeah.
You know, how is Lapine mm-hmm. operating right now?
Yeah, that's what, when I saw this, mm-hmm. I actually drove around to see, you know, all the exceptions and all that, you know, and that's
yeah.
why I was so concerned, because it's like,
yeah.
we're not doing this, we're not doing that, I mean, yeah. how, you know.
But we were in a city.
We were in a city, we could get away with it. Now are we going to have, I mean, is the city going to have to put in a whole bunch of sidewalks? I'm sure that our city council is going to love to hear that. That'll be a new budget item.
Well, I think what happens is, it's like they said, where you'll see a strip of sidewalk and then nothing, yeah. because as part of the agreement to develop that area, you have to add it, and then hopefully at some point they will all connect.
Well, actually, yes. what they do is they put it in a fund, and when they have developers yeah. coming in these different mm-hmm. sections,
right.
mm-hmm. but we have
the city can put it all in.
We have houses that do not have sidewalks. It's privately
owned. No,
property,
I understand.
And, you know all that.
Right
kind of
in
stuff,
front of my
so.
House, for example. It's not unless I would like wanted to
we
tear down my house and develop it for some reason.
Right.
But we need to change because
yeah.
it's a historic
yeah.
landmark.
Yeah.
It was yeah. built in
1923.
It was built down by the railroad track.
I think it did say something.
You
can
actually
walk to the railroad company.
You have to comply with some
data. Yeah, I was just going to say this League of Oregon City, I passed out some information there to go on their website. Here's, I can make copies of this, but for instance, they're going to have a land use. Well, they're going to have a land use planning class in Prineville on May 8th.
Right.
Yeah, building successful Oregon communities. They're going to have urban renewal, a tool for economic and community development. There's going to be classes in Salem. Well, that was already passed. There's going to be one in Bandon on April 28th. That's a ways. That's a ways away. I'm not even sure where Jacksonville is. That's April 22nd. And then they've got just a number of other kinds of courses for anything to do with city or government classes. So
and the cost is?
What's well, you go on their website, it'll have a list of all their League of Oregon. Even if you just Google League of Oregon Cities, you can go into their website and just, they'll have a whole schedule of all kinds of courses all over the place. Quite a few of them are in Central Oregon, whether it's Manor or Redmond.
We are, because we're on the Planning Commission, the city belongs to the League of Oregon Cities, so we're members, right? So we would it would be the member
yeah.
rate.
And yep. can they apply for scholarships?
They can apply for scholarships, and that's, I mean, I got one to go to the Oregon Municipal Recorders Conference
yeah,
for training.
Could you make a copy of these?
Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Excellent. Yeah, well, let's wait a sec till she's back. Don't give me time to fill this out. I'm thinking another agenda or topic for the agenda request for public announcement. I am going to reword this and
okay.
go to the council with request for public announcement for involvement. Help me with that. Request for public announcement for
an announcement.
I didn't want to say public involvement because that's duplicating it.
Request
for public announcement for
notifying
involvement.
Let's see.
Involvement Congress. With the Planning Commission Historical with the Planning Commission Historical Committee.
Public, please get involved.
No, that's not.
We
that's going to be vague enough that I'll explain myself when I get there.
Yeah, just
you want to keep it vague.
Yeah. And short.
You want to keep it vague and very short.
To me, it sounds like more you just want input from local people on their experiences of being here.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Everybody's saturating. Already the Frontier Days have the same request.
Yeah, they're requesting it, too.
Rodeo. I mean, this is 100 year anniversary, so everyone is...
Yeah. Go to room 128 in the Prairie House and talk to Trapper Ray.
Oh, I know.
Sam Morehouse, yeah. I mean, my gosh, who's been here...
You're talking about Sam Morehouse?
Yeah.
I just talked to him the other day.
Yeah, Sam
Morehouse. He talked to me when a tree blew down. He told me how old it was.
Uh-huh. I saw you blowing down the tree. We went to the...
That tree blew down now.
Yeah, I know.
The past word, I cut it down.
Yeah.
I could be lynched for a second. That tree blew down. Morehouse told me that tree was there. Grown very small when he was out at the Shevlin Hickson logging camp in 1930.
Yeah.
When he came
to you missed out because Virginia and I were having a discussion with Greg Walden while you were doing all that.
And Michelle was there too.
I didn't see him burning the tree.
Yeah, he was down by
I looked up and said, "What are you doing here?"
Yeah,
towards
the wood.
That's a big one.
We had to take down three trees.
And you cleaned that
stuff itself down.
It looks so nice now that you cleaned that up.
I gotta still take away all the front. I had to put the stuff out the other day because it was getting dark and stuff. So
now you know if they come where that tree is.
Yeah.
You can tell.
Yeah, I'm gonna put a kiosk.
There you go. That's the new Roswell. Now we understand.
That actually was the exact spot where they moved Roswell to. Did you know where that? Where that tree was.
Oh, well, he's not dead.
Yeah, I know. I knew it.
Yeah.
Okay.
We missed
public comments. Adele, do you have any public comments about this on the agenda?
No.
No.
Okay. So I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. There is no question. So we're
all right.
Very good.
No.